Recorded live.
This is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia Open Forum call, December 7th, 2009. Happy Pearl Harbor Day. We need another Pearl Harbor. We need one 10 times bigger than Pearl Harbor. Go on. What's up, Brett? How you doing?
Oh, well, I'm being recorded now. I mean...
Well, I mean, even if nothing's happened, I get a lot of... I catch a lot of flack the next day in email if I don't record these programs. So I don't know what's going to happen the next 2 hours, you know, and if I don't record the program, I actually get half a dozen complaints at least.
Well, was I being recorded just then? Or?
You are now.
But before now.
Well, what does it matter? You didn't say
because,
anything that's going to get you
because
tired.
Because the certain person... I make copies of these for that certain person. He's going to hear this, you know. You understand?
Yeah, well, he is.
He's going to hear me talking about
okay. That's okay. I mean, you're not saying anything you're ashamed of. Don't worry about it. Change the topic if you want.
Insurance. I haven't researched it, but without even researching it, insurance has got to be some kind of made up by the Jews.
Insurance is a Jew scam. Of course it is.
Yeah. And any female, and Bill knows that my history with females, and any female who takes out life insurance, Sonia, her plan is to kill you. Okay, that's why she's doing that.
Yeah, well, it's probably a safe bet anyway. Otherwise, she'd go spend that money on shoes, huh?
But I mean, there's people who have house insurance, and their house burns down, and then the insurance won't pay because they'll say, well, it was arson, you burned your own house down. And they won't give them the money, you know, they won't do anything. They won't give them the money they've taken from them for all those years.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good. I got another copy of Social Justice by Father Coghlan, dated October 28, 1940. And it had a little article in here that was kind of interesting. I really wasn't aware of it. I'm going to try to read the excerpts. Since I broke my glasses, it might not be as easy. It's talking about France and the Jews, and said the following, following the assembling of a high court to inquire into the causes of war and the disaster, the French government startled the world by its recent decision relative to Jews. According to an Associated Press dispatch of October 17, 1940, we read the following. The government announced tonight that while the persons and property of Jews are to be respected, they will be permitted henceforth from holding important places in the social order of France. The government announced approval of a statute regulating the place of Jews in the national life, which is to be published shortly. The announcement said the Jews contributed in no small degree to France's defeat, and that experience has shown to all impartial minds that Jews have exercised an individualistic tendency bordering on anarchy. It added that Jews would not be permitted to participate in the formation of news, in parentheses says a newspaper word. Were you aware of that, Bill?
Not at all. When was this published?
Well, the copy of Social Justice is dated October 28, 1940, and it's stating that this Associated Press dispatch was of October 17, 1940.
So the French blame the Jews for their defeat?
Well, that's what this is saying.
Wow. I was never aware of that.
Now, it says the government, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, the government of Marshall, P-E-T-A-I-N.
Petain.
I usually call it Petain. Yeah,
well, that's kind of what I was going to call
this
it.
This is American.
It could have been something else. But anyway, I wasn't aware of that. And I thought it was rather interesting. The article goes on in other things, but of course, Father Coughlin and the people who wrote the comments on the editorial pages did not understand who the Jews were, and of course, who Israel, true Israel is. But I thought it was rather interesting. The last paragraph says, probably until the end of time, millions of Jews will feel the lash of persecution, not because so-called Christians are better than Jews, but because the penalty resulting from Good Friday will be paid in installments until the crack of doom. I thought that wording was rather good.
Yeah, I would love a copy of that.
Well, it's a large, it's too large to scan. But I'm sure, I know you're aware of Father Coughlin. He put this newspaper out for at least probably about 15 or more years at least.
Yeah, I think more like 20-something.
Yeah, it was a long time. And a lot, of course, he was a Catholic priest, but he was right on with the Jews and Bolshevism. And, of course, he had a radio program during the 30s.
And ultimately he shut his mouth in favor of his pension, right?
Well, he shut his mouth. Of course, he was under a tremendous amount of pressure from everybody, especially after he came out against the Bolshevik Jews and exposed them for being behind the Russian Revolution and Jacob Schiff and Paul Berg, Wahlberg and all of them, and Kuhn Loeb and Company and the financing. Incidentally, another little interesting tidbit. I was going through some of my archives of records and things, and I found a newspaper that I had. I think it's dated 1918, and it's out of Los Angeles, California. And I remembered why I bought the magazine. I got it off of eBay. It had an article in there stating that funds had been sent to Russia, to the revolutionaries in Russia, to help them format and carry out the revolution, and that it was coming from large banking houses in New York. And that was just a regular little news article.
Hmm.
So I found that rather interesting because, you know, they want to deny everything.
Is Sarkozy the president? President over there, is he all French?
Yeah, but he's not French. He's a Jew.
He's a French Jew.
That's what I thought. I didn't.
He's a Hungarian Jew.
Yeah,
I thought I heard, and I heard just like Father Coughlin. I heard.
I was kind of hoping the headline Gerald was reading was from yesterday, but I guess not.
Well, I had never heard that about France before in the Jews, and I found that rather interesting.
Yeah, especially
I'm gonna do more research into that because I think it's worth the effort.
Especially since the prime minister that really agitated the war, the prime minister of France agitated, you know, the firm stance on the Versailles Treaty and the harsh treatment of Germany was a Jew named Leon Blum.
Mm.
And his persistent, you know, obstinate position on a Versailles Treaty was probably one of the real underlying causes for the war. That's the way I see it, anyway.
Bill, hate to change the subject, but in the Birmingham News here in Alabama, a couple of it was a week or so ago, they are going into elementary schools and giving the kids the swine flu vaccine. And the actual headline actually said, youngest kids first.
Yeah, well, that's it's an orchestrated plot against our race. That's the way I see the whole swine flu vaccine thing. They want to get us all vaccinated. If they don't die now, they'll die of cancer in 40, 50 years, 60 years, a lot of them. It's a damn shame, but that's what's going on. And we're going to continue to be punished until people wake the hell up.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. I mean, it's punishment from God that we're undergoing, and we deserve it. It's a trial. It's the vials being spilled out from heaven.
Fox News had an interesting article on on the internet this afternoon about South Africa. It seems that some of the men in South Africa are raping women who are have come out as lesbians, and they said that they're doing it in a corrective state to correct them.
Amazing.
I thought it was interesting. Of course, any excuse will do.
Are these white men or black
men? Oh, no. The picture, they were all black.
Well, of course. They have to rape somebody. They don't care who they rape. They're omnisexual. They don't care who they rape.
I wonder how many.
Yeah, any good reason for rape.
I wonder how many they've corrected.
When you first mentioned that, the thought popped into my head that maybe some white men grew some balls, but that would never happen. That would never happen. I was mistaken.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the Book of Enoch say that all of these non-Israelites, they're going to end with fighting each other, basically warring against each other? Did I misread that or misinterpret that from the Book of Enoch?
You know, it's been a long time since I read the book. It's been about 8 years, 9 years.
Oh.
I don't have the whole thing memorized.
Uh-huh.
Patricia's on call.
Hello, yeah,
Patricia.
I have everybody automatically unmuted. Hello, Patricia.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Gerald. Hello, everybody.
I don't know who North Florida is.
I was on busy making a schedule for James from Central California. Building him a little chart. So he knows the time of each show and the caller ID and all that. And I'm going to mail that out to you tomorrow, James.
Thank you very much.
I just got it done. And so I didn't hear who somebody was talking. Somebody mentioned the V word, vaccines.
Ah, yeah, me.
And you know, that always gets me to call in. Who is that?
Ah, me, Brett Deason, Alabama.
Oh, cool. Wonderful. Yeah, that's
he's an old new face.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, the thing I want to mention, I don't know if you've been following it, but not only did they push it for young children, but they pushed it for pregnant women. Pregnant women aren't sick. Why would you inject yourself with 25 micrograms of mercury? I mean, you're getting poisoned for two. And that's exactly what's happening. The miscarriage rate among pregnant women is like through the roof that get vaccinated. And of course, the doctors are denying it.
Are you the ProThink from the ProThink the website, or is that another female?
No, there was a bunch of us over there the other day. Wendy Callahan, she's VaccineTruth.com with Vaccine Liberation.
I thought it was VaccineTruth.org.
VaccineTruth.org and VaccineTruth.com actually links you to the Vaccine Liberation site. Sorry. So, yeah, it's just amazing. So, you know, they've been trying to deny that it's related to the miscarriages are related. Oh, it's just, you know, just a coincidence, of course. But there were four women from a small town in North Dakota, and they all went in and got the swine flu shot dutifully. They were not due until June, though. And they all went into labor that night.
Oh.
Yeah, and so they said, well, you can't deny it now. There's four of us from a small town. We all have the swine flu. You can see if it's scattered all out the country. You know, maybe they can deny it, but they can't deny this.
Well, there was a man found, I can't remember where I found this on the web. He, I don't know if this is still on YouTube or not. It may not be. He had made several videos, like at least 10 of them, I think, and they were on YouTube, but when he made them was a good year or so back, at least, and he was talking about the swine flu hoax was on its way from the government.
Oh yeah, they've been lining this up for a long time. The first it was bird flu. They've been, you know, pushing that on all the like rents.com and things like that. They've been tracking this for years,
and
now they're saying, oh, it's mutating, and you have to get it. So that's why you should get a vaccine. Well. They're strain specific, so if it mutates, the vaccine, even if it worked, wouldn't be any good for it. Only crazy people would think this stuff up. It's absolutely amazing.
I sort of remember the news reports when I was a kid, and it was no big thing. The flu season was here again, they used to report that it came from Asia. They used to tell you sometimes how it came from Asia. All the flus, all the diseases seem to start in Asia. And they give you some tips like washing your hands after you do this or that. And that was it. And now it's just a panic.
Yeah, they've been trying to spread that.
I know here in Alabama, or at least, well, yeah, I guess, and this is probably nationwide, I don't know. The kids that go to public school, they have to have that vaccination checklist sheet. I think it's like green or blue or something. Where they have to get all their shots before they're accepted into the school system.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Because that's the rise in the autism rate has been directly linked to it. And the state of California spent over $1 million to disprove a study by a group called Safe Minds that showed that the rise in the autism rate was directly linked to the rise in the vaccine schedule. And they couldn't disprove it. And when they backed off their vaccine schedule just slightly, guess what? The autism rate went down just slightly.
I sincerely believe that the autism, it's a scandal. It's an autism scandal is what it is, because it's definitely being caused by the medical establishment.
Autism wasn't even in the medical school textbooks until the 1940s. And that's because thimerosal was developed by Eli Lilly in 1939. And they used it on a group of meningitis patients. And you know what? They all died. But it couldn't have anything to do with the thimerosal, right? So they started putting it in vaccines in the 30s. And at Johns Hopkins, I think it was 1942, a guy named Dr. Leo Kanner was the first guy to describe autism. It's directly related to, you know, vaccines. And it was only like one. By 1970, it was only one in every 250,000. By 1980, it went to one in every 2,500. 1993, when they really cranked the vaccine schedule, it went to one in every 250. And now it's more than one in 100.
100? Oh, I thought it was 150.
Well, they're
I'm
saying
really
150, but we're saying, but we see it even more because it's on the spectrum. So you have so many kids with ADHD and ADD. That's all vaccine related.
Something real quick today, finally, some truth is coming out, but they said the conspiracy on History Channel today about December 7th, that they knew the Japanese were going to attack. I finally saw some truth on there today, even though they had a lot of BS too, but they had some truth.
Because certain revisionist historians have been beating that drum for years, and it's finally getting to the point that they can't ignore them.
Bill, somebody's complaining that your volume's a little low.
You mentioned that earlier.
I'm trying to be myself. I yell all weekend, and I have to yell again, I guess. I hate yelling. My voice gets all raspy. I sound like a
Wickstrom
maniac. And
oh, Wickstrom.
He's been real good the last couple of nights, so he always is.
Wickstrom or?
Jim, yeah, James.
Oh. Oh.
I've known him for a long, since the 80s.
Jason says that Navy intelligence broke the Jap crypto codes in 1940.
How you doing, Jason? Why don't you call in, Jason?
Yeah, talk to us about this.
That's what this was
the original World Trade Center. This is the original 9/11 that they used.
Yeah, I read a few Barnes Reviews articles on it that were actually good about 8-10 years ago. When the Barnes Review was still halfway decent, I've lost a lot of faith in it now.
Oh, it's terrible now.
Change the subject, but kind of go to jewelry. The subject of jewelry because...
Jewelry?
J-J-E-W-R-Y. Am I pronouncing it incorrectly? I pronounced it wrong enough.
Go ahead. I'm just teasing you.
But Walmart here, which I'm sure, I mean, I'm sure they do it in Alabama last. I'm sure it's everywhere else first, at the other Walmarts first, but they have you in the bathroom, and I just know the men's bathroom, where you have to put four quarters in to use the diaper changing table. They got locked up for four quarters.
They pay you to change your child's diaper at Walmart?
No, you pay them.
I mean, you have to pay them?
Yeah.
That's insane.
You have to pay to use the diaper changing table.
Yeah.
It won't
yeah.
fold down without quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
What a racket.
And here, the way they do the speaking of the public schools and jewelry again, am I pronouncing it wrong?
No, you're pronouncing it right. That's the Central Alabama way of saying it.
And the public schools here, they at the end of the summer before the public school starts in late August, they come out with the school list of each grade and each class, and you know, they list, you know, you got to buy so many different so many notebooks and so much paper, so many pencils and crayons and so forth, and they put on there, it's so ridiculous. They put on there, do not write your name on any of these products. And
why not?
Don't write your name on stuff that you buy.
Yeah, don't write your name. Don't write your child's name. And
why
and
not? I'm with Patricia. Why not? What's the reasoning behind that?
Because. As it also has written on it, that this is not the complete and total list. That in the future you may be able to, you may have to buy more because these things will be used up. And on the list are, you know, there's things that the child will use like pencils and paper. But then there's things that the child doesn't use that the school's going to use, like copy paper. And copy paper
is tax. That's an additional tax.
And what happens is that the kids who are not prepared, who don't pay, you know, their parents didn't purchase their needed materials, they get to take yours or the other, you know, the students who the kids who were ready.
Oh, so this means that the little Negro kids
exactly.
can steal the supplies from the white kids.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Exactly, the Chinese and the Mexican and yeah, the Asian, yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what that boils down to. Because niggers, I mean, I went through it for 12 years. They don't buy anything. They want to steal everything.
You know,
they have a privilege.
When you guys say, you know, jewelry, I was thinking jewelry. I bet the Jews are behind all that, too.
Oh, well, you have to see Bill's expose on that, James.
Jews are the god of the Jews. Don't you know that? Jewel is the god of the Jews.
I don't know if any of the churches, again, I mean, I'm in Alabama. I'm in a hole. I don't know about the rest of the nation. But the churches here, they throw in cheerleading and all kinds of stuff as part of their church. Oh, man.
Well, that's so that the little Negro boys in church can see your daughter jumping around in that short skirt with the pom-poms.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody that goes to a church like that deserves everything they get.
And I don't, I'm, you know, I'm trying not to offend the one and only female that's with us right now on this show. But Patricia, is that right? Is that your name?
Well, Pilgrim's here too. She's just listening. She's going to call in a minute. So if you give us a hard time, you're going to be double teamed.
Okay. But cheerleading, things like cheerleading and dance line and skirts and, that's got to tell me that came from the Jews, please. Please tell me that came from.
Jewish. It sounds like Canaanite rituals to me. It's no different. I wouldn't doubt one bit that it didn't come from some Jew, some Murano Jew pastor or whatever you want to call them.
They have in the mall in Tuscaloosa here, one of the malls, there's three malls in Tuscaloosa, one of the malls, they have a Victoria's Secrets right beside them. It is the store right beside the video game store. so that when the kids go to the video game store, you know, they have to, you know.
Yeah, they're bombarded with sex. That's what Jews do. They bombard our children with sex and everything perverted. That's why they, it's their agenda on a television.
And I'm trying not to be attacked by Patricia. And
no, you're not offending us, honey. You know, we live in the real world.
These women are well aware of all this. That they're hip to it.
I can't get over the little girl's clothes, how seductive they are.
Oh.
Extremely seductive.
Oh.
I couldn't believe when I you know, I've only been born into the world for about 11 months now. You know that.
Yeah.
I had a long departure, a long vacation. And sometimes I just want to go back because I can't believe half the stuff I see in town.
You know, Bill, I had a long stretch where I didn't watch television. And when my friends would turn on, I remember I saw an episode of Night Court. I couldn't stop talking about it. I was so shocked of what the subject matter was in primetime television. I hadn't seen it since, you know, the first run through of MASH, you know, probably, and there was a good 10, 15 years later. And I was just stunned. I mean, when you came out of prison, did you see that the culture had gotten worse?
But I
or
still haven't
the same?
Watched television.
Yeah, he's
no, but I mean, do you just see, well, you live in the country.
Oh, it's horrible.
Too,
so. I go to town about every other week, you know, maybe, and I can't believe the stuff I see in town. You know, schoolgirls walking around half naked.
Yeah.
They're literally half naked after school, and they're 14 years old.
Yeah, they're porn star wannabes.
Yeah,
well, look at Penny's and Kohl's, you know, all these, you know, department store deals. I look at them, I go, my God, you know, little kids, sexy poses, sexy clothes, everything.
Well, right, but these girls aren't even wearing the stuff I saw in Penny's. Yeah, you know, and I went to a Penny's once, and they're not even wearing that stuff.
But
they're not wearing hardly anything.
They go to church and they call themselves Christians too.
I couldn't believe the way they're dressing. And actually, I have some cousins down the road, and they have my cousin has two young daughters, and they're like 11 or 12 years old, roughly, and they. They're actually lovely, well-behaved young girls that, I mean, they're mainstream Baptists, but they're lovely, well-behaved young girls, and she homeschools them. And they are extremely proper.
I mean,
they're so proper they scare me. I mean, I love it, don't get me wrong, but they're so proper, it's incredible. And she's doing an excellent job with them, and I just pray they stay that way.
So they don't dress provocatively when they go out?
Oh, no, these girls dress like young ladies should dress in nice little dresses with sweaters and the whole nine yards. She's doing a real great job with her kids.
When I was a Baptist, which is what I was for the longest time, independent Baptist, and I went to
There is no such thing as independent Baptist.
Oh, sorry.
What is that, like Jack Southern Baptist? What does that mean, independent Baptist?
Independent Baptist churches are not part of the Association of the Baptist Association.
Oh,
Baptist.
But it's not like they think independently or anything.
No. No, it's just still the same crap. At this church, it was during the summer, and these young girls, I'm sitting there in the pew, and they run up to the front to where the altar is, and I couldn't tell they had on long T-shirts, and I couldn't tell, you know, I wasn't going to ask, I wasn't going to, you know, I just sat there with my mouth agape, because I couldn't tell if the long T-shirt, if there was anything underneath it, for, you know, if they had shorts on or anything, that was, it was, all you saw was a long t-shirt and then their legs. And I was like, oh wow. And the pastor never he could have at least said something, but he never said anything.
Guest 12's made a great point. He says, what do you expect when America's biggest export besides arms is pornography?
Right. Yeah, and this is pornography is probably the single I think it's the single biggest problem in society today. It's a totally debounced society.
I'm gonna get the guy who's in California mad when I say this, but there's always been that when I was growing up, there's always been that rumor that California is going to break off and fall off and drown.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim really said. If any of you hope you guys heard last night with Wickstrom about the earthquakes, I hope it happens all over the world. That's going to be the first thing that happens all over the world. Big ass earthquakes knocked the mountains down. It was beautiful last night.
Well, I know there's a difference of opinion on that, James Bill. Are you of the physical earthquakes or just the cataclysmic shaking of the world system?
No, well, no, he's talking about physical earthquake. He said that's the first thing that's going to happen whenever it happens. And then
I wouldn't take the prophecy so literally.
He said in China in 2008 that he's got a picture of it. He said it last night. You can get it. 68 point some pound stone, ice, hail. Yeah, hailstone. 68 and some pounds last year in China. He's got a picture of it.
You know, there have always been natural disasters. And every time there's a couple of natural disasters, people say, oh, this is it. This is the big one. This is it. This is the big one. And then we'll go 10 years without a natural disaster. That's major. And they had that earthquake in the South Pacific a couple of years ago that killed a few thousand people, the tsunami. And everybody said, oh, this is it. It's starting now. This is the beginning of it. And we haven't seen anything since, have we?
No, that's because that earthquake in South Asia was created. But, they had the technology to drop, charges in the Marianas Trench or whatever trench it is that works there. I've had that confirmed by someone in telecommunications that, does government contracts.
Well, right, but it's still, whether or not, regardless of the actual source of the earthquake, it set off the entire the doomsday natural disaster crowd. And they all started running their mouths and nothing happened. And they'll be back the next time we have a tsunami or an earthquake. You know what I mean? And they'll be predicting doom again. And it's every couple of years that they do this, and we never get anywhere.
They do like to say that the frequency is increased.
I'll take one thing for Jim Wickstrom. He was big on his Y2K thing was the end of the world too. All right, and Jim Wickstrom fell head over heels for that.
Thank you. Nothing happened. Thank you.
All right,
gentlemen.
James, you're outside in the wind, aren't you? James suggests.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for telling me about that Wickstrom deal about 2000. I didn't know.
Well, it's the truth.
I believe you.
It's only the truth. These guys want to keep predicting fear and live in a culture of fear. Christians aren't supposed to be afraid of a damn thing. You're not supposed to be afraid of anything, except he who has the ability to destroy the spirit. That's all you're supposed to be afraid of. And all this culture of fear bullshit, I'm just tired of it. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
We're all going to die.
It's un-Christian.
Gerald's going to call you a potty mouth in a minute, Bill.
The culture of fear is pagan, all right? You want to get to the bottom of it? The culture of fear is pagan. I fear nothing.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, right. We are all going to die.
eat drinking, be merry for tomorrow. We shall die.
We're all going to die if Yahweh wants us to die. That's the way it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. And we should spend our lives not worrying about it, but seeking how we could please Him. Period. That's the bottom line.
Well,
hell with the culture of fear, and the hell with all the clowns that spread the culture of fear.
Well, they say you're dying from the day you're born, so, and I believe it. That's the, you're live so long.
The culture of fear and the culture of politics have no business in Christian identity.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Bill, because faith, you know, God's a faith God, and Yahweh's responds to faith. I mean, and if you're in fear, you can't be in faith. They're complete opposites.
Thank you, Patricia. That's exactly true.
I think there was a story, national news story, a couple of days ago about one idea that they had was to decrease the minimum wage. Did I catch that correctly? if anybody catches the national news, that was one of their ideas for getting people work was to lower the minimum wage so that it would cost less to pay people to work for you.
Well, you know,
he increased the prices and decreased the minimum wage. Hmm. But minimum wage, really, minimum wage is kind of ridiculous. That's got to be a socialist, you know, nonsense too.
And that's just what I was about to bring up. The minimum wage is a socialist. It's a socialist idea anyway.
I mean, an employer should be able to hire somebody, you know, for what he wants to pay, and if he can't get someone at that wage, then he'll have to raise the wage. I remember. Oh, back when unemployment was only 2% in Massachusetts, people in McDonald's were making like $17 an hour on Tremont Street in Boston, and they had to pay that much because they couldn't get anyone to work.
It's the same thing in the Bay Area. They pay more down there, too, but the rent and everything's higher, too.
Hello, program.
Christians should seek less government intervention. Government is never the answer.
Well, I think the whole political thing is funny when you have people that can stand up there and with a straight face talk about reducing the minimum wage when they're the same people that increased the minimum wage and started all this mess to begin with.
That's right. Hey, Pilgrim, how you doing tonight?
Sorry, I had to unmute. I'm fine. How are you all?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good to hear it.
Hey, everybody. Greg here. How's everybody doing?
Hello, Greg. How you doing?
Good, Bill. Good to hear everybody. Sounds like a spirited discussion. Always glad to jump in the middle of that. You know,
what do you think of minimum wage, Greg?
Well, that's not an easy question to answer because I see the Jewish conspiracy behind the entire unfolding of the economic disaster that we're in the middle of. So, you know, they love people to work for minimum wage because then they know they're going to need additional assistance from the government to live, because who can live on $8 an hour? You know, and since the majority of our jobs have now been sent over to China, another Jewish-controlled nation, and taken from here, soon to be completely controlled Jewish nation, if not already, in practice.
Well, basically,
terms.
The only way to get your job back is to stop buying shit made in China.
Yes. Well, and that's almost an impossibility because everything is made there or Indonesia or,
well,
you know.
Right, so we shouldn't buy anything, should we?
Greg.
It's just about getting to that point. You know, earlier I heard everybody talking about the physical signs of Yahweh's return. And frankly, I don't know. I'm not a huge predictor anymore. You know, every time I see predictions, they never come true. So I shy away from that. But I do see the prediction in various Bible books of the rise of Esau in the end times and the diminishing of Israel.
Absolutely, and that's a clear prophecy that we can point to.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That we can see.
Well, prophecy is one of those things that was made so that you could see it after the fact anyway. It's not one of those things that you can really clearly predict before it happens.
And that's actually been a theme of several of my statements over the last few weeks, so I'm glad you agree.
Bill.
I mean, that you cannot miss. An earthquake, you know, hurricanes, I don't know. Are they natural? Are they signs of the end? I can't tell, so I can't really expound on it one way or the other, but when I see the two seed lines at having total warfare, and mostly it's warfare from one seed line on another.
Yeah, it's one-way warfare.
Yeah. While the majority of our race sits around and,
prostrate.
You know, is clueless and actually thinks that these hideous creatures are the chosen of Yahweh, that makes me want to scream and go berserk, you know. I don't really worry that much about earthquakes anymore. If they come, they come.
Just like you guys are talking about minimum wage, today I got my letter from Socialist Insecurity, said that there was no inflation last year. What a joke. So they're keeping it the same thing
really?
For the next 3 years.
No inflation last year.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Real quick to add this or fill this in, Matthew 10:28 is what Bill was mentioning, Matthew 10:28, and this is the perverted King James, but then fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to kill both the soul as well as the body.
Absolutely. We shouldn't buy into the culture of fear. It's anti-Christian. It's exactly the opposite of what we were told to do.
Yeah.
I remember when I was...
Wasn't the command threat not? Wasn't that the command?
Threat not?
Threat not?
If you really want to sum it up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in a sense, there's a lot to be afraid of. If our eyes get off of Yahweh for a moment, then we're terrified.
Right.
But, I mean, if we understand where we are and who we are in this world and in this current age and what's going to happen to our enemies, it's an exciting time to be a believer in Yahweh right now. We have a chance to see the age come to an end.
Amen.
That's just incredible, and it's exciting. But I tell you, the second that my eyes leave Yahweh, I get scared. So it forces us to cleave unto him. But we have no choice in this crazy mayhem that we are currently living in, where aliens rule over us and Jews run every aspect of this life. You know, we are driven to stay close to Yahweh, to fellowship on calls like this. You know, I look forward to touching base with brothers and sisters as often as I can. You know, it's a source of strength for me. But there's a lot to be fearful of for our brethren that don't see what we see. Most of them are probably scared to death.
It just now hit me why Bill was laughing. Is it my southern accent? Do I have a southern accent, Bill? Is that what it is? When I say jewelry, is there a southern accent in it? When I was in public school, I remember that a calculator didn't come out until I was like in junior high, in seventh, eighth grade. And that was when they first allowed us. You know, they said, okay, now can you start using a calculator?
Hold it. The calculator didn't come to Alabama until you were 17. We had calculators back in 1970.
I'm somebody in school.
The little rich Jewish kids had them, but we had them.
Then they went to Louisiana second.
I remember using a calculator in some sophomore year math courses, and that was 1976. And I know that you weren't even in first grade in 1976.
I wasn't even born. I was born in 77.
So maybe calculators came to Alabama when you were in junior year.
I remember using slide rules in chemistry.
You know, when I was at work in 1967, I was working at a food brokerage house, and I remember the first calculator that was delivered to the offices, and everybody gathered around and was utterly amazed, because up to that point we all had to use those manual monsters, and
oh,
to see this electronic type calculator was just almost it was just unbelievable.
Wow, it's like the future page of my weekly reader, huh, Cheryl?
Well, it was as big as an old computer, if you can imagine such a thing.
Are you sure that wasn't an abacus, Gerald?
Thank you, Bill. No, it wasn't. I'm not quite that old. But we've come a long way. You know, the that same place, we had, of course, we had computers. And we had a computer room that was probably four bedrooms. It was just full completely with these huge, I guess, tape decks. And we had a key punch department of about 20 girls. And then, of course, we had the card deck machines and all of that. My computer sitting right in front of me on my desk will do more than all of that combined. It's just utterly amazed at where we are today. What is wiser but weaker?
Wiser but weaker. That's a good way to put it.
And no warrior son of David. I was not in the Civil War. Close.
He missed the draft by 6 months.
When I first started working for the financial firm that I worked for back in Virginia, we had a huge computer room with a UNIVAC 1052 in it. And that
took up the whole room.
Yes, took up the whole room. It was a nice, quiet, you know, sounding machine, but it was gargantuan with the tapes, the spiral tapes and the card readers, and it was something to behold.
Bill, do y'all use the word y'all up there? Do y'all eat grits up there? Y'all know grits are?
No.
Yeah.
If you want grits up here, you have to go into the Negro neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
And chances are you won't make it to buy the grits.
Did you catch the news, national news, 90-year-old war vet of several wars. Is not being allowed to put up an American flag in his own yard by his neighborhood because they're saying it's one of the neighborhood rules, one of the rules in their neighborhood.
Welcome.
Oh, I'm sure they must be one of those planned developments, homeowners associations and things like that. This is terrible. You can't park a boat in your yard. You can't do this. You can't do that. People that sign up for all those stupid covenants, it's just ridiculous.
It's that way in Lodi, California. It has been a long time. Probably all kinds of places out here.
That's right. He must have agreed to it to move there.
Greg, can you give us a preview on what your program is going to be like tomorrow night?
Yeah, I can. I want to get into just some good dialogue and verses tomorrow night on just the warfare that we find ourselves in currently and how it's very much predicted that we would be in this current situation. And just get into some verses and just develop a conversation and a dialogue around them. Some of the Psalms are really clear to me lately about this conflict. Specifically, I mean, the Jews, tracing them back to Cain in the garden and that bloodline that has gone down through the centuries that we find ourselves in warfare against, and yet 99% of our race sleeps, probably more than 99%, 99 point whatever number you want to put in there.
Well, most of them are partying with the devil. I mean,
most
of them are caught up in the porno society.
Yeah. So
most of them don't mind the Viagra commercials on television. That was the biggest shock to me, Patricia.
Yeah.
Well, and that actually happened still in prison. I didn't pay any attention to television for years. And one day I stopped into the TV room to talk to a couple of guys, and I saw this really goofy TV commercial with this guy with the real stiff body, and a real goofy smile on his face. And you can't – where I was, you can't hear the television – unless you have your radio on, because the signal is broad, the sound is rebroadcast over the FM band, and I didn't have my radio, and I asked somebody what the hell the commercial was about, and he told me Viagra, and I'm like, Viagra, what the hell is that? So they told me what it was, and this was like 8 o'clock at night. I couldn't believe they had a commercial like that on at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, Wendy has a friend named Lisa. And Lisa's 4-year-old little boy, Carson, said to her one day, "Mom, what's reptile dysfunction?"
Reptile dysfunction, yeah. Well, that's when the Jew doesn't work anymore.
That's right. That's what the Jews are involved in, you know? The reptilian Jew.
Reptile dysfunction, that's pretty good. But, yeah, I would have been, as a parent, even being at home and seeing that on television, I'd have been quite upset.
Well, don't these parents, like, ever notice that this box that is taking care of their children is causing some problems? Do they ever think that there might be a solution for that?
Yeah, it's called turn it off.
Yeah, I'll get rid of it.
I got this email today. They were all incensed about the fact that Levi's was promoting these racial integration commercials. And end, they wanted to boycott. They wanted to boycott Levi's, and they wanted to. They were so mad. They were so mad over the fact that the Jews were doing this, and it was a Jew-run company. And my first thought was, one, why are you buying from a Jew-run company that you know is a Jew-run company? And two, why are you watching their commercials?
And Levi's moved the last of their plants to China about 8 years ago.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, it's not like even their crap is made here anymore.
And the prices, I'm sure, didn't go down.
Yeah. I mean, they're importing even food now.
Which is absolutely repulsive.
You have to look at your labels closely now when you buy food.
I look at every single label, everything I buy.
Yeah.
Bill,
tell
them what you found in Walmart the other day.
Oh, the other day I found a bag, a laptop case made in America. I almost fell over. It was made here in Walmart. I couldn't believe
what now?
A laptop case that was made in America.
Wow.
And I could not. And this was found in Walmart. And I couldn't believe it.
The question is going to be, where were the components for that bag made?
Well, it doesn't say, but the bag was actually made in America. And it was
by illegal immigrants.
It was actually made in New Jersey, probably by Mexicans, yeah. But it just amazed me to find something in Walmart made in America. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was the first thing I think I ever saw in a Walmart. I mean, my experience with Walmart is only about 8 months old, okay? Because I had never been in a Walmart. They're not – Walmart came late to the New York City metropolitan area. But I couldn't believe I found something. I hadn't seen anything, I don't think, made in America before I saw this bag.
And you know what's real sad is, of course, I'm right next to Arkansas, and that's where the Waltons, Sam Walton, live. Everything that he put in Walmart when it began was made in America. He was a very, very patriotic at that time, and you didn't find foreign goods in Walmart. And like you say, it's very odd to find anything in Walmart now that's made in America.
Oh, yeah, they had this one big, great big campaign a few years ago about how they bought all this stuff made in the USA, and now you don't hear that commercial anymore.
No, they haven't used that commercial in years. That was just to suck everybody in so they could close up the rest of Main Street and take over.
Bill, did it explicitly say made in America, or did it just say distributed by and then had an
American? Oh, no, it's made in America, company name and everything. It's the same company that makes Swiss Army knives.
There was a local Birmingham, Alabama news did a report. They stood, and this was years and years ago, they were in the Walmart parking lot interviewing the people as they came out, customers as they walked out, and asking them if it mattered to them that all this stuff they bought was not made in America, and they said no, just as long as it's cheap.
Yeah, and they don't deserve their own jobs because they're putting their brother out of work.
You know, I called FedEx to come pick up a package, and I discovered while I was talking to them that I was talking to someone in Central America with FedEx company just to pick up a package here at the house.
Wow.
I just couldn't believe it.
And we thought it was just Indians in Pakistan.
I called on some technical difficulties on my phone and ended up getting somebody, I guess it was in India. And I could not understand them. I mean, I gave them all the information on my phone and everything. And every time I had to say, would you say that again? You know, would you speak up more clearly or whatever? And finally, he says, I'm going to put you on hold for a few minutes so I can get somebody in our technical department to help you. Got the person in the technical department. First thing they said, what is your name and can I have your serial number? Very first questions I was asked by the other company. I mean, by the other guy. And then I started this whole process again, getting really frustrated, trying to talk with somebody that does not speak English well. I know that I'm talking to some foreigner in some third world country somewhere and getting more and more pissed off by the minute. And finally, I just told him, I said, look, if this is how I'm going to get service, I won't buy your damn product anymore. And they hung up on me.
They hung up on you. That's pretty
good. Yeah, they hung up on me.
I got hung up on by customer service Bangladesh.
Exactly. It was incredible.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. And this was after I'd been on the phone for like 45 minutes, just trying to get them to repeat themselves enough times so I could understand what they were saying.
Bill, and I asked this stupid question because it's been so long since you watched television. Oprah Winfrey, are you familiar with who she is?
Yeah, some horse you just can't help it. You can't miss.
Well, I mean, there's nothing but white females in her audience.
It's unbelievable.
That a damn pity. That's absolutely incredible, isn't it? They all just worship that beast.
And they sit there and they hang on her every word. If Oprah says it, they do it.
Oprah tells them what to read and what to believe and what to wear and how to fix their hair.
Yeah, if I met a girl and she was a prospective date and I asked her what, and I found out she watched Oprah Winfrey, I'd tell her to beat it right there. Get out. Beat it. Just because you watch Oprah Winfrey, I want nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
She could look like, I don't know, Christy Brinkley or something. Well, she married a Jew. She ain't no good either. You know, she'd be the most beautiful girl in the world, and I'd tell her to just beat it. I'd have to. I couldn't live with myself if I associated with her.
And you look at that beautiful Norwegian that married...
Heidi Klum.
No.
Oh, man, she just makes me sick, that whore.
Yeah, that's
it. Amen.
That whore just makes me sick.
Who is that nigger golf player? I can't remember his name.
Tiger Woods. Ellen.
That beautiful
He's
Norwegian.
He's got a whole string of whores from what I heard. It's incredible. I don't want to start cursing. I'm sorry. I can stop.
He married a Swedish model. I think it was Elaine Nordegren.
Yeah, too bad she's not
a
concept model.
Yeah, she's a beautiful woman, and she goes, here it is, and this is what really is sad. You've got here a beautiful Israelite woman who has obtained a beauty extraordinaire, and she spreads her legs for a damn ape. Now, that is sick. This woman was given all the gifts that Yahweh could possibly give to one of our kinspeople, both in beauty and material rewards, and she goes and spreads her legs for an ape.
There's no guarantee that woman's white. Her mother's name is Barbro Holmberg. That's not a common Swedish name. She was an active social democrat politician, a labor unionist, and a worker for asylum seekers and immigrant rights.
Jew.
What was this, Bill? Me and you were talking about Jeremiah 16:16, where it talked about the fishing. Behold, I will send for many fishers, and then after that is the hunters, and hunt for them out of every hole and rock and hill and mountain and.
Let's not get carried away and start adding to what Jeremiah said now. He will hunt them out of the holes of the rocks. That's what he said. They will hunt them out of the holes of the rocks.
And
the fishing expedition is over.
Yeah, exactly.
That goes hand in hand with with Jeremiah chapter 31, it says, yeah, you know, after the promise of the new covenant, it says basically that the day will come when that they will no longer say no Yahweh, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. The evangelical churches still think that we're in the fishing period, is basically what it boils down to. All the fishing was done when the last Anglo-Saxon, or I should say when the last Saxon nation in Europe was converted to Christianity, the fishing period was over with. The hunting period began with the archaeologists and the discovery, the British archaeologists and the German archaeologists, and the discovery of the Assyrian tablets and cities that allowed us to realize the identity story.
And again, that's Jeremiah 16:16.
Yeah, Clifton has a paper on it. It's a real good paper. It just basically explains the prophecy and the hunters, the archaeology expeditions, and it's called Who Were the Hunters?
I read that. Isn't it kind of splitting hairs, though? The end result that you're looking for is sort of the same. Pulling them in with with more knowledge instead of just the gospel.
Well, the idea of the hunters, I believe, is that we had to actually our archaeological expeditions give us the knowledge that we are actually the children of Israel.
Right.
The proof, basically.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this thing from, I think it came with a blurb about the Synagogue of Satan book, and it's just a bunch of papers, so I can't be sure if it came from that book. It's from note one, page one. It's something that, you know, connect the dots, and it starts out talking about the Talmud, the Pharisees, the Khazars, and then when it gets to the Semites, it says descendants of the lost tribe of Israel, possibly from the tribe of Judah, and they don't spell Judah right, and they had known today as Bible-believing, you ready? Sephardic Jews.
Oh, geez.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's the path that passes for academia today. It's straight garbage.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's important to understand who the. It's important first to understand the prophecy of the fishers and the hunters. Because once you see that there were fishers and hunters, you have to understand that the fishing period, or the spread of the gospel period, was predicted to end, that it would no longer be necessary.
So now it's up to them to come to us.
Well no, now that we all have the gospel because of the – we have the gospel because of the fishers, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Now it's important to be able to prove who the covenants belong to, and that's where the hunters comes in, and that's where the archaeology and the history come in.
Because they help us they help us in identity.
Well, right. You need them to identify the hunters.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to get people to accept the identity story and you don't know anything about the history and the archaeology, you're pretty much lost, aren't you? You're really not going to be able to explain it.
Oh, sure. It's proof of what your claims are, but obviously very few who say they're Christian and who have come in through the gospel activity have any interest. So that must be simply the called factor kicking into place.
In a lot of respects, yes.
And as a witness at the end time, at the judgment, to
yeah.
say, there it was, I told you, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Right, we're to be we're to blow the horn of warning. We're supposed to be the people of Tekoa.
So we don't have to make up any C.I. Jack Chick tracts to hand out?
Any what?
C.I. Jack Chick tracts.
Wow.
Oh.
I got one of those just the other day, and it referenced Genesis 4:1, and I was like, awesome.
I still don't know what you said. I'm sorry.
Jack Chick is a Jack Chick is a guy who there's little there's he has these little tracts, they're like little tiny comic books. very popular because they're little tiny comic books.
Okay. So, you see, I'm culturally challenged.
Oh, sorry. they've been around for years, and they've been popular with the...
They're part of Holy Hardware.
People who go out and
I don't know what Holy
market.
Hardware is. I'm being honest. I don't know these things.
I'm
a Yankee first. And
they're called...
I'm an apostate Catholic, you know. That's how I was raised.
They're called Chick Tracks because his last name is Chick. It's Jack Chick.
Don't feel bad, Bill. I haven't heard of those either.
Holy Hardware is the trick-tracky stuff they sell in a Christian bookstore. Anything that's not a book, they call it Holy Hardware. So, you know, it's Jack Trick Tracks or Jack Chick Tracks are kind of on the border. Since
it kind of sounds like Jew business lingo.
Well, it is. It's Judeo paraphernalia.
Yeah, business
angle. Oh boy.
I saw, and I don't know how true this is, but I saw somewhere on the internet something about that the government is going to try to fake the rapture that all the mainstream churches believe. That rapture. I don't know.
Well, if they do, they do. I mean, not much we can do about that.
I want to be left behind.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Go ahead.
You know, that's the best way you address that, is I want to be left behind. Tell them you want to be left behind. Because
Gerald, you have something you say to that.
About being left behind?
Oh, no, I guess when people say God, that the Jews are God's chosen people.
Yeah, they're chosen for destruction.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, I was reading something, and I wasn't totally listening.
Well, then you need to pay attention, because Brian's called in now, and you need to say hello to Brian.
That's right, Brian has called in.
Hello, Brian.
Good evening, everybody.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm
all right.
Doing well. Oh, we have more than one Brian.
Yes, but they spell it differently.
Fair enough. This is Brian with the I.
I won't ask who wants to be Brianne. That was a bad joke, I know.
Not me.
That was a bad joke.
You know what I find kind of interesting is Sheldon Emery and Bertram Comprey must have been preaching around the same time, because they were going on and on about Russia was going to, you know, invade us, that there were going to be, you know, nuclear bombs come from Russia and all this. They were really concerned about, you know, the Bolsheviks, you know, militarily coming to our country, you know. And
well,
really,
you know, I'm gonna be honest and humble and say that if I lived during that, you know, the 50s and 60s, I'd have probably thought so, too.
Oh, exactly. But you know what? But while we were worried about this, they did. They did launch a full-scale war against us, but it was in psychological warfare. And they did infiltrate our, you know, every part of our society. I mean, Congress, the Senate, I mean, universities.
You know, I still haven't watched the tapes, and I still haven't listened to that fellow.
Yeah.
However, Bezhmenov or whatever his name is.
Yuri.
But if Christians did not let the Jews have the control of the media, which they do, none of it would have been possible.
Well, I guess the point is...
I'm sorry.
Sorry, how'd they get control of the media? They bought it, and so it was some Anglo somewhere along the line that sold it to them.
Well, of course. But it shouldn't have been allowed to happen.
Well,
but didn't they also start some of their own things? They started from the ground up using their money.
Yeah,
to buy
they did.
But
in the 30s, they launched Hollywood. A lot of that was with their own money. But they were the only ones that were printing money at the time. I mean, we weren't allowed to, right? It's illegal for to have whole white banks print money. Only Jewish banks print money. That's the Federal Reserve. It's a Jewish banking crime syndicate. And they have a they have an exclusive license to counterfeit money and loan it to us. So because they have an exclusive license to counterfeit money, who do you think's in line first at investment time when they're looking to loan this money out? Who's going to get the funding for their projects?
Jews.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess Six is making a great point here.
During the Depression, when the television, when commercial television was launched, and when Hollywood, when all those Hollywood production companies appeared, who was behind them all? Jews were behind them all, and the rest of America was in a depression.
But we, you know, all this was a fulfillment. We all knew. I mean, we know now in hindsight.
Right, Six, you're right. The Ashkenazis are the biggest element of Gog and Magog, and they've been looting and pillaging our coasts, as Gog and Magog are supposed to do, since the 1880s, 1890s.
Y'all, I'm going to have to say the southern word now that we're here. Y'all going to have to fill me in because I'm calling in with no view of the screen there, so I don't know what guest Six is.
Oh, he's just talking about the Jews being Gog and Magog, the Ashkenazi Jews, and for the most part, he's right.
Well, because they've already invaded us.
Yeah, they have already invaded us.
They actually were described as Gog and Magog as far back as 500 A.D., I think. They were described as being the kingdom of the north, Gog, Magog. So historically, they were called that.
Bill, this is kind of a stupid question again, but New York history, how much I'm guessing you know a lot of it. Am I right?
I don't think so. I probably know more about Sparta.
It was years and years and years ago. I heard on radio that the story of Christmas Santa Claus came from the stores up in Jersey or New York, up in that area,
the idea of Santa Claus is of a Saint Nick, or that's centuries old.
Oh.
That's an old Dutch tale, or actually some people even put it in Central Anatolia at a much earlier time. I don't know if that's true or not, but the Jewish department stores in the 30s did popularize it to a great degree and perpetuate it. And basically the whole Christmas tree thing and that's all
Jeremiah chapter 10.
That's all German. It's not even English, really. I mean, the English had the Yuletide, you know, celebration, but the whole Christmas tree and Saint Nick thing, that's not really English. That's German.
But wasn't it what he referred to as Father Christmas by the Germans a long, long, long time ago?
I don't know.
Before Santa Claus.
Well, even prior to that, Bill was right. It was of a somewhat Dutch origin, and forgive the pronunciation. I believe it's pronounced Sinterklaas.
Yeah, something like that, right.
And that goes back many, many years.
But then they say that it actually goes back to the Nicolaitans.
That could very well be.
I would probably have to scoff at that until I saw, you know, I would hold that dubiously until I saw something.
But Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 is the Christmas tree.
Well, right, and it's an ancient pagan, festival. There's a lot of, okay, I'll tell you what I know about Christmas. And Jeremiah 1 through 4, you know, chapter 10, 1 through 4 is obvious. But the, Saturnalia was held at the winter solstice by the Greeks.
Right.
I'm sorry, Bacchanalia. And it was the feast of the god Bacchus, who is a personification of, or an alternate personification, I should say, of Dionysius, who was a sort of like a male god of lust and wine and orgies and everything sexually promiscuous. And women used to go into the mountains and get themselves into a drunken frenzy, and some guy would grab them and they'd have sex, basically. They'd commit adultery. And she would always think she made love to Bacchus, but it was really some local Jew priest, probably. Now, aside from that, the Romans, so we have this, it's a drunken, it's a festival of drunken orgies once a year that the Greeks, you know, the Greeks partook in.
And then the Romans had Saturnalia, right?
The Romans had the same festival, basically. It was a festival of drunken orgies, and it was called Saturnalia. And it was their winter festival, their winter solstice festival. Same time of year, December 21st, 22nd, 23rd, whatever. The winter solstice date changes with the centuries by a couple of days with the precession of the equinoxes, very slowly. Now, the Romans had this Saturnalia festival, and that's after Saturn, who was a fertility god, and the word satyr and Saturn I can connect etymologically, that they come from the same, you know, they're Hebrew cognates, basically. Now, the Romans had a tradition on Saturnalia that, you know, every Roman man had a patron, you know, like a politician or a prominent citizen that his family worked for or did favors for, and they received political favors in return when they needed them. You know, the whole idea of a patron. And on the date of on December 25th, it was common it was more or less a custom for these Roman men to bring a gift to their patron's house and lay it by the hearth. And so we see elements of the Christmas traditions that we have today in Roman tradition of 2,000-3,000 years ago. Well, up to about 2,500 years ago anyway. And that's, you know, Christmas is actually all little borrowed traditions, some from the pagan Romans, some from the pagan Germans, some, you know, and all rolled up into one holiday. And the Catholic Church basically made everybody happy that way.
That's right. They took that's what holiday means. It means holy days.
Well, how did they go about making the Jew priests happy who used to exploit the drunk women?
Well, the only thing I could probably say good about the medieval churches is that they swung towards prudery in a lot of respects. You know, they actually did get some morals out of Christianity. Because the Jews for a long time were excoriated from society. There were probably other similarities with Christmas and the pagan holidays, but I know them, but they're just not in my mind right now. But the Jeremiah 10 thing, that's profound. That's definitely talking about Christmas trees.
Yeah, that's very neat.
There's no doubt.
So when did y'all wake up to the Christmas thing and stop doing it?
When I quit getting presents.
Actually, I'm going to a family Christmas get-together next week, because I'm never going to convince them that Christmas is wrong. It's just not going to happen, and it's a good time to just to see them and be with my family.
Yeah, I do that when people are having a party or something like that. I'll go for the just to, you know, see friends.
And I would encourage, and I do encourage anybody that if you can use the time is for that reason, then there's nothing wrong with it. Then you could turn it into something positive. But the most important thing is to get out of the consumerist, feed the Jew mindset of Christmas. That's the most important thing. That has to, you know, our people have to stop that, because we're just enriching the Jew. I mean, the horse might be out of the barn already, but that doesn't mean we can't wake the hell up to it.
I hate that aspect of it myself. You know, the continual commercialism of the pressure to buy things, and obviously that's the Jew, you know, ringing that bell, trying to get you to part with your money in yet another way to enrich them. You know, it never ends with them.
In every store here.
But you don't need money. You can do it on layaway, Greg.
You know, the one thing I'm getting sick of is seeing diamond commercials. Every kiss begins with K, and whenever my dad sees that, he says, "Oy vey, give us your money, and we shall give you stones that we picked up off the ground."
Yeah, the diamond industry is probably the worst, the most thieving industry in the world. I don't know if there's a worse one.
Well, they found that about 40 to 50% of so-called diamonds are basically, you know, fugazis. They're fakes.
Well, I mentioned insurance to you earlier, Bill, before all these people.
Yeah, that's a pretty big scam, too, insurance. Especially when they get the state to mandate it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then tell them they can charge as much as they want. Oh, and by the way, you have to buy it.
Yeah, yep. It's that way here in Alabama. You got to have car insurance. Happy.
Yeah, well, it's been like that all my life in New Jersey. I can't remember ever driving without it.
Same thing in California.
Unless you're an illegal, of course.
Yeah.
And for that, you can buy uninsured motorist coverage.
Hmm. Yeah, the poor schmucks that have to buy the insurance can buy the uninsured motorist coverage so that the illegals could drive around without it.
In fact, did you ever see that YouTube video circulating about a diamond-dealing rabbi in New York City who was a counselor for a police department? So they gave him a department pass. And he had a Crown Victoria with tinted windows. It looked like an unmarked car. He put a siren and a light on it, and he would go through traffic. And finally, the real police pulled him over and asked him what he was doing, and he said he had to get to a diamond auction, and he was in a hurry. So he was running a siren and a light because he wanted to get through traffic using the shoulder to get to a diamond auction.
And they probably waved him on.
They let him go, and then they said that they would talk with him later. Then when the media went to his diamond shop to ask him questions, he basically told them to go to hell, and he wouldn't talk with them. When they asked him if he thought it was right to run a siren and lights when he's not actually a police officer, it's not an emergency, and then he pointed out that, the diamonds couldn't wait.
He probably called their Jewish boss, and that was the end of it, you know?
Wow. That's pretty good. I'd like to get that on the forum.
Hey, Sword Brother, I watched one of your favorites last night, Camp FEMA. Your buddy Alex Jones.
What did he say?
It's just a pack of lies. I mean, I didn't realize that Chuck Baldwin was such a Judeo. He was running down Nazi Germany left, right, and center. I mean, it was.
Was he?
I was kind of shocked. The whole thing was a pack of lies.
Thank you for that.
Anybody that just
I voted for that bastard.
Anybody that just indiscriminately criticizes Nazi Germany is displaying the product of their brainwashed mind.
Okay. Totally.
Yeah, he said he was just running for president. He took over from Ron Paul just because, you know, he wasn't no politician, but he just had to do it. Now I find out he's another phony.
Well, I really like the point that Mike Delaney made about Ron Paul, and we all noticed. I was just coming around to information about the Lost Tribes and searching for more information. So, you know, I got involved with the Ron Paul thing, and I'm one of those people, if I'm in for a penny, I'm in for a pound. And we were just shocked. It totally looked like he took a dive. I mean,
yeah.
he won New Hampshire hands down, and they wouldn't even demand a recount. They wouldn't even do it.
I remember a little bit about that. So he took a dive, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. We think so.
Well, okay. as soon as he did, it was right after that he endorsed Chuck Baldwin.
Hmm.
So
yeah,
it was kind of suspicious.
Passed the baton to someone else. Yeah, it was. I think he was completely shocked that he, you know, was able to raise so much money. I mean, $10 million in 2 days of.
Well, what's funny is all that happened right around the same time. Don Black admitted he was contributing to all that happened right around the same time.
Oh yeah, that's how I first looked at Stormfront. I didn't know anything about white nationals or anything. I lived in a multicultural place, and they were excoriating Ron Paul so heavily for taking money from this Don Black person. And I'm going, well, like, what's the fuss about him? And so that's when I went on Stormfront.
And it
started
reading. It was shortly after that he had dropped out and passed the baton on to Chuck Baldwin. And yeah,
That's the same thing. Remember Pat, whatever his name is. I guess he's got some good books, but he
Pat
was.
Pat Buchanan.
Yeah. How about him?
Bill, real quick, to interrupt as I always do, and change subject like I do. In one of your shows, you said that you take five white guys and put them on one side of the room and five black guys put them on the other side of the room. You know this. You know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to stay that way. But you didn't throw this in. Unless they are young, being completely brainwashed, and then they could do it like my 9-year-old niece. I'm sitting there talking. She's beside me, and I describe a girl as a black girl, and she said, "Do you have to call her black?" I said, "Was she white?"
Okay.
You know, and so there's a factor there. The youth being brainwashed as they.
Oh, you know, you need to go to sensitivity training. you're just wrong to call someone black or Asian or say, you know, that biracial couple over there. You need to go to sensitivity training. And they have that at corporations. When I was at Starwood Vacation Ownership, that was a really big deal that you were not allowed to call people by their race.
Wow.
You weren't saying, I was just talking to this Chinese couple that's from San Francisco. You're not allowed to say that.
I had to attend many classes like that. You know, I worked at one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies. It probably is now the biggest one in the world. It's now Pfizer. It was Wyeth prior to being merged. And I had to attend many classes like that. I actually had to sign off on various pledges, you know, that we would not, you know, discriminate in any way. And, of course, all the sexual orientation and gender assignment and, you know, every possible Jewish-led perversion you can imagine, we had to say that we were cool with it, you know. It used to drive me crazy when I signed my name. I'd always scribble it. It always bugged me.
Like you're signing your soul away, eh?
But isn't it interesting how all of those corporations...
If you wanted to keep your job, you sign.
They all get on the same bandwagon about the same time.
Exactly.
With all of this, be very PC. There's no race references. All of a sudden, that's everywhere, almost the same time.
Right, and I remember hearing it from the schools, the media, and the corporations at exactly the same time. I mean, within weeks.
Yeah,
you know where
all my went out. No doubt.
Most of this is coming out of the ADL. They prepare a lot of those programs, and they send it to corporations, CEOs, and presidents and whatnot, and they get them to implement their software and these programs. While I was still working, the most ridiculous thing they came out with in the sensitivity class that I had to attend and sign off on, like Greg, was the fact that we were not supposed to make eye contact with a female over a certain seconds because of the innuendos that would maybe cause in her mind. And we just sat there and laughed. when they mentioned that. But that's how ridiculous it's gotten.
That's incredible.
Oh, and Bill, about the rabbi with the diamond dealing, would you believe it? On YouTube, this video has been removed due to the terms of use violation. On MetaCafe, the video you were looking for has been removed. And then on the original news website, WCBS-TV, video not found.
Well, you know, you have to keep your YouTube downloader right on your desktop. And as soon as you see a controversial video like that on YouTube, you have to download it because it'll be gone. They disappear quick.
Obama's all hooked up with them pharmaceuticals too, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he owns stock in Baxter.
Who? What?
He owns stock in Baxter, the people that big H1N1.
Oh, yeah,
They have their lab in the Ukraine. He made a trip to the Ukraine when he was still a senator.
Isn't that a big morning after pill company, too? Baxter.
I don't know.
They're the ones who were caught shipping live virus vaccine into Eastern Europe somewhere, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Extra contaminated. They're all contaminated, but.
Yeah.
Extra contaminated.
Right. That's what they call hot lots.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't Greenspan making money off of the vaccination?
He's a Jew, isn't he?
but I think that's like his company or something. That's either his company or he has a lot of stock in that company, the H1N1 vaccination company.
Oh, they all own stock in the you know, pharmaceutical companies. You don't have to. There's not 6 degrees of separation between any of them.
More like 1 degree.
Yeah, 1 degree
separation. Yeah.
Oh, has anybody heard anything about Obama trying to, I don't know how he would do this, I don't know how this is actually possible, kill the Internet?
I heard about that.
You're right.
Control it.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't pay attention to it because, to me, it just goes back to the fear-mongering thing.
Yeah, sure.
One way he could do that was when they officially declared a national emergency due to the so-called swine flu, that was never rescinded. That is still in effect right now. And part of that is they can take control of the Internet under the guise of protecting bandwidth so important communications could go out. And, of course, that's all smokescreen.
That's right, they don't want you sitting home with the swine flu watching too much YouTube.
Right. So they actually put that language in that bill that he could control the Internet if a national emergency was declared, which has been declared and has not been undone. And the news media really glossed over that when they first came out, what that really entailed. You know, they floated it out that it was just to help hospitals treat patients quicker. And, you know, it's made it sound like it was a very benign thing. But if you really take a look at what a national emergency opens up powers to the president. He can declare martial law if he wants to, based on that national emergency. So
thanks to Nixon in 72.
That's right. Well, but Yahoo and Google have both done a wonderful job in China, censoring the Internet there for China. So it's possible it could happen.
But then,
it could happen.
Can't it be controlled by these different servers like Google and Yahoo? If they start putting restrictions on users as to what they can go in and look at, they could just expand that to the point.
Well, I know that AOL was doing that back in 93, 94, 95. AOL was already doing that.
Google turned in all of the people that were on the Internet in China and turned them into the government several months ago. I heard that.
Be assured it would not be that hard of a thing for them to do if they wish to do it.
I think they really like the Internet because they can track us all. I mean, there's no such thing as privacy. So, they, you know, it's a two-way thing. They enjoy having, you know, access to us, too.
Yeah, be assured they know who we are, what websites we visit, you know, what things we participate in. I'm sure we're all identified as Christian Identity Adherence.
Red-listed.
You know, it would not be hard for them to shut it down, mostly by shutting down individual websites and blogs and different things that they would have identified by now.
I think Yahweh's keeping them off of us, I hope.
Well, yeah, the public library in Maui, I couldn't get into TalkShoe. Well, I could get into TalkShoe, but I couldn't get into Eli's show one day when I was downtown. And another time I was at the Ala Moana Hotel, and something happened, and I didn't have my computer with me, so I went down to the little business, center that they had and paid.
The libraries censor Christian Identity websites.
Oh, they sure do. And so I went to... So the Ala Moana, the business kiosk there that you pay your fees for so many minutes, and they had censored a bunch of them. I even just for the fun of it typed in the word Amero into Google, and about 15 came up on the page, and not one single one of them would open. They all said that they were porn sites.
Interesting. Yeah, if they wanted to control, they wouldn't shut the internet down.
I've never heard of that.
They could control the flow.
Pardon me, Greg?
Yeah, they wouldn't shut down the internet, but they could certainly shut down all the sites that, we frequent and the sites that we get together on. There's no doubt they could do that if they wanted to.
Well, the Jews make a lot of money on the internet. They don't want to shut it down.
That's true. That is true.
Well, they're not going to shut down their things like eBay and Amazon and, the things that, the Goy line up to spend their money on.
No, but on eBay, they are seriously restricting what sellers can offer now. If it's controversial in any way, it's banned.
Hmm.
And that goes with books, a lot of different. Now, if you're a Jew, you can sell 50,000 books on the Holocaust and the evil Nazis, and they list every one of those. But you will not see any pro-German or pro-Hitler books listed. And if one squeaks in, it's either removed or sold quickly.
Amazon's been doing that as well for quite a while now.
Well, that's amazing because Amazon, markets that they pride themselves on having every book.
Well, again, they're just starting it, too. There's still quite a bit that's available.
Every book on whose list?
Right, exactly. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I should get another copy of Mein Kampf just before it disappears entirely.
I'm glad I got the one I got.
Yeah, back up your files, Bill.
All of my files are on 3 computers and 2 remote servers.
I'm teasing. I'm talking about your hard copies. Having a backup copy of Mein Kampf.
That would be nice, but I don't know if I could... If I can afford the paper, I can't afford the paper to back up my hard copy.
You can buy Murphy translations for, I think, $20 from Noontide.
Well, no, I meant my writings and all the other stuff. I've got tens of thousands of pages posted. I would never be able to buy enough paper to back it all up.
But the overall hope point, of course, is to trust in Yahweh and have faith in Yahweh.
Absolutely. That's where it comes and the hell with the
with
being afraid of what the government's going to do to us next, and you spend all your time worrying about that. All your resources go into that.
Yeah.
And what have you accomplished in the meantime?
Humble yourself under the hand of Yahweh.
That's it.
Is Collins hooked up with Noontide?
Stephen Collins?
The one that's got all these so-called, were the lost tribes.
Yeah, the one with the nigger daughter. The Jew lovers.
I didn't know that either.
Matt Collins. He's a puke.
I hear you.
He's a universalist, and he's a Jew lover.
Isn't he a form of Mormon, too?
I don't know about that, but I don't think his writing will give you much more than what my 13 or 14 little essays give you.
Well, I know I got those 2 latest books by him, but I was going to check into the Scythians and all that stuff before, but it's probably all a bunch of bull from him anyway, the 2 earlier books he did.
just download my six. I got two essays on the Scythians and six essays on German origins. That's all you need to know on the topic. Basically, it's in a nutshell. Anyway, it's a good summary.
Oh, James, we want to hear that story. James says he's written to Collins, and he's probably the rudest person he's met. Oh, we want to hear that story.
How about Pete Peters? He's rude, too.
Yeah, well, Pete Peters is a nigger lover, too. He's a straight piece of doggy dung.
real quick, it's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of Yahweh. And that's not the whole verse. My bad, but that. There's silence.
Yeah, well, that's right. We should. And that's important, and not fear anything.
Well, I guess that, you know, the point that, you know, Gerald and I always have this conversation about is, well, what should we do? I mean, and we come to the conclusion that Yahweh said to occupy until he comes, and that we're still to resist evil.
Yeah, we are to labor for Yahweh's. We're Yahweh's laborers. We're to work for him. For his truth, to spread his truth, and to reach out as far as he allows us to reach out to, he allows us to reach out to with his truth, and that's all we can do.
Well, it's that way in the old dictionaries, 1940 or whatever, it says militant church, and you won't find it in there no more, but it tells you that a small group of, you know, our people will still be here in this latter days, just like the Jew kids. It's right in there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Bill.
Nah, you did well. You spoke well. That was good.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, I've got to, I've still got some chores to do here. I've got to go on Kiefer Madness, so.
Thank you again, Patty.
Oh, yep. Good seeing you all tonight, and I'll look forward to seeing you all with Greg tomorrow night.
Have a good evening.
Good night.
Bye now.
God bless.
Well, what else is on the agenda? Where's Brian Hustle? He's been quiet.
Oh, I'm right here, Bill. Right here.
Oh,
life in Northeast Ohio.
Huh?
Right now, life is good. I'm finishing up with school.
I just spent 11 years in Northeast Ohio. Too bad I didn't know you guys.
What part?
Jail.
James is my buddy. Columbiana County.
Okay, that's just south of me.
The federal prison in Elkton.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right up in Trumbull County, so that's...
Yeah, that's right up the road.
Maybe.
That's trippy.
Right up Route 7.
Exactly.
Bill, that's kind of trippy. You know, you both of us have been in prison. You was in there a lot longer than me, but I was also, you know, I was a correctional officer, also youth correctional officer. I don't know. I did it, all that crap.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't want to do it again.
Bill was in prison for, and don't get mad when I say this, Bill, for like 20 years, you know, guesstimation.
For 12 years.
12.
Okay, right, well, I'm getting around to a point here. Murderers get out in 3 years, is my point.
Six months in California and San Francisco, I heard niggers killed people a long time ago. In 6 months, they were out on the streets.
Well, they must have been straight people, probably.
Well, the big news here in Ohio is they're getting ready to put a convicted killer to death, and tomorrow, actually. And the appeals process is just unbelievable.
Are you talking about the one that killed that 14-year-old girl 25 years ago? So he spent more time on death row than she did alive, almost twice as long as she was alive he's been on death row. Is that the one you're talking about?
Exactly. It's just unbelievable.
Was he white nigger or what? The one that killed
black.
The girl?
Black.
Now, if it was a white guy, they probably have killed him.
This is true.
And he jumped her walking home from a carnival, dragged her off at knife point, raped her, and then cut her up and basically slit her throat and butchered her. And when they were going to execute him, they had to try 16 different times to find a vein, since he had used heroin and his veins weren't really strong. They were collapsing. And then he cried out in pain as they pricked the muscle on his arm. They said it's cruel and inhuman.
Oh, Jesus.
But I know the biggest argument they're using now, too, and this is with a lot of the, because most of them are Negroes on death row, especially here in Trumbull County. They're all using the mentally challenged, mentally retarded argument.
Well, if they refused to convict niggers that were retarded, there wouldn't be a nigger in prison.
This is true.
Here in Alabama, they call Birmingham Brown Town, and which Birmingham and Montgomery are both Brown Town.
Oh, Bill, something else earlier. I remember when I was in jail, the niggers would overpower the TV set. If they had more niggers over the whites or Mexicans or whatever, they'd take over the programs and stuff, watch what they wanted. Did you deal with any of that?
Well, you know, I didn't watch TV because I really didn't care, and I haven't watched TV in years, but we did have a in the dormitory, because I helped them out with it a couple of times. We had a white TV room, and only white guys went into it.
Boy, not here in California.
Yeah. Well, that's sticking together.
That's trivial. I hear you. That's the trouble. We don't stick together.
Most of the dormitories at Elkton had, you know, enough white guys in them that they'd have one white TV room, and be able to hold on to it.
I mean.
There were like 6 TVs on a unit, I think, or maybe 7. I forget. For 160 guys, maybe.
So downtown New York is Brown Town, too, Bill. Yes.
Jew York.
Oh, downstate it is, yeah. It's Jews and Negroes and Sticks and many Puerto Ricans and Cubans, you know.
There you go, 212.
That's basically Manhattan anymore, 212.
Well, this part of Ohio is getting that way, too. And it's funny, Bill mentioned Columbiana County. That's probably one of the more rural counties in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But you come up where I'm at, which is only maybe half hour to 40 minutes away, it's bad.
Yeah, it's like Cleveland, right? What are you, by Niles?
Yeah, I'm actually right by Niles. Yeah.
I thought you were more near Youngstown.
If you can, brother, get the hell out of there.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I don't know a damn thing about the area except what I listened to on the radio for 11 years. That's how I know about Niles, all right? I ain't never been there.
Well, Niles for this area, Niles is more like the cultural mecca, I guess you would call it.
Well,
that's where you have all the malls and you have all the different restaurants. And but, yeah, anywhere between and it's. It's an interesting location because you go from multiculturalism galore, then you get into an Amish community, then you get into more multiculturalism.
I used to hear some good things about the Amish community there.
And
my parents, when they came to see me, they used to stay in Boardman.
Boardman is actually, that's a suburb of Youngstown. Youngstown is a pretty scary scene.
Absolutely. I heard about that. You know, I used to listen to the AM radio station. And businessmen in Youngstown couldn't keep the niggers out of their stuff at night.
What happened was, and this was up until a few years ago, Youngstown per capita had the largest murder rate in the whole country. What's sad about that is that's slowly moving north into the Niles Warren area. So yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why I went back to school, just to get into a field where I could pretty much move anywhere. And that's basically what we're doing right now, is seeking out some areas where we want to move to.
I was just gonna say, Greg, get the hell out of there if you can.
Don't move.
But Youngstown, that wasn't due solely to the blacks, that was also due to the mob war that was going on.
Oh, definitely.
Don't move to Birmingham, Alabama, or Montgomery, Alabama. Stay away from those two. And what's so neat is there's a Prattville, Alabama, is right down the road from Montgomery, Alabama. It's all white. Prattville's all white. Montgomery's all black.
Right now, is what we're looking at. We're looking at a move laterally, either because there's certain parts of Pennsylvania, the counties are very white, 97%, 98%, and also
where I am right now in New York, it's about this county's about 95%.
And yeah, I mean that's great. I mean, right now where I'm at is probably a 60-40 split. So it's getting bad. It really is. You know, before I phoned in, I know Big Talk was the I was listening in was the schools. I mean, the schools are deplorable.
Yeah, that was,
and that's where all this brainwashing starts too. You know, with the kids.
Yeah, but I was talking about that. I was talking about the school.
And it's like my wife and I, we homeschool. We wouldn't change it.
Yeah,
California's damn near like Mexico.
That's what I hear. And, you know, unfortunately, Northeast Ohio is just, I mean, it's that way. I keep saying it's getting that way, but it's that way. It's been a slow decline. My wife has family up in Cleveland. We go up there, and I just cringe. Just because there's certain parts of Cleveland you just don't go into.
Yeah, it's called Cleveland.
But then there's but the bad part is when you get out into a lot of the suburbs, they're mostly Jewish. So.
And call herself white.
Exactly.
Well, they say that Beechwood, Ohio, 20% of the people speak Russian, and the community is 95% Jewish, but it identifies as 95% white. And someone once asked me what's the bad part of Cleveland called, and I said Cleveland.
It really is. I used to work up at the Cleveland Clinic, and I can remember going through Beechwood. This was on a Saturday, and you'd see a long line of Jews just walk into the synagogue.
And they got their hats on, and you can see the little white strands coming out of their pants.
That's all you see is a beeline. It was like a herd of Jews.
I went to college around that area.
And it was the most nauseating sight, you know, first. This was probably, I'd say, you know, real early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just see a beeline of them. Yeah, and that was right ahead. That was actually right in Beechwood.
Yahweh, please come back quick.
Oh, it's scary because you go from that, then you get into the ghetto, and it's, you're damaged.
Well, there's no
doubt.
That's the punishment. You know, you read the punishment of disobedience and the blessings of obedience in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and there's no doubt that this is what's happening.
Exactly.
It's to a T.
Exactly. Sports plays a huge role. The three major sports are football, basketball, baseball. Two of those three have white cheerleaders, and those two, basketball and football, have black players.
And they all have a white audience, and it's straight nigger worship.
Yeah, nothing but white in the stands.
I thought the three most popular black sports were rape and robbing and looting.
Yeah, well, there are a hell of a lot more black rapists than there are black athletes.
700,000 last year, supposedly. Or no, not just rape, but assaults and everything against white people.
And I can just tell you, just from attending the University of Alabama, the black football players sleep through class and pass and get their degree.
Of course they do. They come out of school not knowing anything. They can't possibly know anything. They're black.
And they stay up all night and sleep all day. Like they did in prison, in jail.
Well, and that just goes back to the schools. The standards in the schools are so poor. I'm just thinking of the immediate area, and the schools are, and the media is totally oblivious to. I don't think they're oblivious to it, but they're not willing to admit it.
They're not. They won't admit it. It's totally. You know, my little brother is taking. He's getting a bachelor's degree in education, and I've actually been helping him with his homework, and I'm like, he writes this paper on. He's been writing papers all semester on the state of the educational system. and then the high school to college gap in the country right now. You know, on how these kids coming out of high school don't have the skills requisite that are required for college. And he's been writing these papers, and I've been telling him why, and he's like, yeah, but I can't write that. And I'm like, Gene, this is what's going on. He's like, yeah, but I can't write that. And he can't write it. And so I just want to, you know, make sure that he at least is aware of it. But he tries to, and a couple of times he sits on the threshold, but he can't write it because he'll just get tossed. I mean, there's no doubt.
Well, I basically
wrote whatever I wanted.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I basically wrote whatever I wanted and said whatever I wanted in college.
You weren't a command master chief in the United States Navy getting your degree through the Navy either.
He's
in a little different situation.
That could be a point there. And I did have professors threaten to give me bad grades, some that tried to give me bad grades. But then when I pointed out that I could and would sue them, suddenly they didn't care so much about the politics, and they just agreed to grade me based on the structure of the argument, my grammar, my usage, and how articulate the essay was, and whether or not I followed the parameters that were laid out in the syllabus, instead of do they personally like it from their own opinion.
Were you in the Navy, Greg? Greg, were you in the Navy?
Oh, I'm not Greg.
Oh, I thought somebody said there's in the Navy, so was I.
Greg, talk down on us. My brother's in the Navy.
Being accountable to the commissars, that could put a different spin on things, though.
I was never in the service. Jimmy Carter was the president. Only an idiot would join the service when Jimmy Carter was the president.
He gave away the Panama Canal, $8 billion. Now the Chinese have the whole damn thing.
Yeah, well, that was planned. That was a CFR move, no doubt.
More than just $8 billion, 30,000 lives.
Yeah, died of doing the canal with dysentery, whatever, that mosquitoes malaria. Or whatever.
Primarily malaria.
Malaria, yeah.
The public schools here in Alabama, when what it used to be is you would graduate high school. In order to graduate high school, you'd have to pass what's called the Alabama High School Graduation Exam, and they took that out because of the obvious, as we know, so that everybody can pass.
Oh, they do the same thing here, and it's unbelievable. They put it in print. Yeah, you know, Bill and I were talking about the Youngstown area. You put in the Youngstown City Schools, Warren City Schools. Here in Ohio, they grade the high schools on like a scale of 1 to 20, 20 being the highest certain criteria that they meet. Youngstown, Warren, they score maybe a 2 or a 3. You get out into the more rural areas, they're scoring 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, well, what does that tell you? But nobody connects the dots, or they're afraid to. So it's...
You know, one of the worst things that they did to the education system in Louisiana is when they introduced grading on a curve.
Oh, I agree. What the school systems are actually allowed to get away with, it's unbelievable. I mean, my wife does a lot of research on this because she handles the bulk of the homeschooling. And just how low the standards have sunk in the last 50, 60 years even. It's unbelievable.
You're homeschooling?
We do.
That's great. I just love to hear that.
We do. My only regret is we didn't start sooner.
Well, in the public schools, was it about 1 out of 5 can read?
If that.
If even that, yeah.
If that. I want to say... Youngstown, I'm not sure. Well, Youngstown, Cleveland, and even going a little further north into Detroit, I think the dropout rate's right around 50 to 60%.
I think about 1 out of 5 graduate in Detroit.
And
that's usually, some of them require 3 to 4 years extra. It's not uncommon in Cleveland and Detroit to have a 20 or 21-year-old in the 11th or 12th grade.
Oh, exactly.
And they were in school with me. In junior high.
You know, when I was in grammar school, I shouldn't say anything about the educational system because I dropped out in the 10th grade. When I was in grammar school, I was I went to a Catholic school, and it was right around the corner from a public school. And the public school kids were almost all black, and the Catholic school kids were almost all white. And the average eighth grader in the public school was about 6 inches taller than me. And you know, now I wasn't short. I'm 6'4" now. But I mean, I was maybe 5'9", 5'10", in eighth grade. And the kids in the public school just towered over me. And it's because they were all like 16 and 17. That they were all 3-4 years older than me. That's why they towered over us.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that brings back memories because I was... My whole academic career just about was spent in a Catholic school. But it's true. And again, it's like somebody said, in the public schools now, they don't even stress academics as much.
No, they stress sports.
Yeah, you know, who can cross the goal line with the football? And what's scary about it, I was listening to probably the same talk radio show you were listening to, Bill, out of Youngstown.
At 570.
570 WKVN.
Yeah, I used to listen to them a lot.
There was a gentleman on there. He was from the Youngstown Board of Education. And he even came out and said, we don't even stress spelling anymore. And this was a gentleman from the Board of Education. And they're not even...
Well, you know, there's no doubt we had the greatest school system in the world. In the 19, and I'm not one for public education in the first place. It's against our, it's actually against the grain of our culture. But I could discuss that too. And we had a public educational school system. If you want to have one, well, we had the best one in the world up through the 1950s, 1960s.
Oh, I agree.
Well, by far. Well, and when we integrated our schools, they went straight downhill. And nobody wants to admit that. Nobody even wants to talk about it or see it.
No,
as soon as we integrated our schools, they went straight downhill.
And the numbers.
And there's no other factor. There's no other factor involved.
The numbers are all there to support that, too.
Yeah, you know, it's scientific principle that when there's a change, you ask, you inquire into what the variable is. When you do an experiment, you have variables. And when you change the variable, the results of the experiment change, and it has to be that the cause of the integration is the cause of the downfall of the school system.
It's
the only variable. There's no other variable.
It has to be white racism. That's the only acceptable conclusion.
well, right, and that turns it right over on its head.
Politically incorrect.
Well, the saddest thing is too, though, because. Yeah, my wife and I, we always encourage people to homeschool. The biggest argument we hear is, well, we can't afford to. The very next sentence out of my mouth is, can you really afford not to? It's just, I mean, in my opinion, it's gotten to that point.
And sorry to interrupt. I had mentioned about the public schools here, they have this little, the little sheet that tells you what to buy for your kid before school starts. And at the end of, I forgot to mention this. At the end of the school year, the teachers have all these extra supplies and they throw them in the dumpster.
they do that up here too. Where I used to work, it was a cabinet making company. And they were tearing down the school. One of the gentlemen I worked with, he was Amish. They were going to buy up some of the school desks, some of the school supplies. Couldn't do it. The school told them if they allowed that, they wouldn't receive any state funding.
Sounds like my dad back in the Merchant Marine back in 1945. Coming back, they didn't bring the tanks and everything, just throw them out in the ocean.
And they didn't fly the planes back either. They said it was too expensive to fly them back, so they just scrapped them all, while the Soviets were increasing their stockpile.
Yep, sounds about right.
As far as schools go, we had to do peer review of essays in college. And the Negro's thesis sentence was, "I was worried because my ma was sick." That was his thesis sentence.
I'm surprised he got that far with that.
Was Howard Hughes a Jew?
I don't know.
I don't think so, but I don't know. My
I had never heard it.
My uncle worked for him. My uncle knew him personally at Northrop Aircraft in Hawthorne, California. I used to watch the flying wings go come in and land and go in and out of there.
He was damn smart to have no education. He was damn smart.
Well, you know, there have been a lot of billionaires with no educations, with no formal education. Real education isn't gotten acquired in school, I'm sorry.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
Before prison, I was for a long time, I was a technology manager for a manufacturing company with a 10th grade education. And I was making $75,000 a year on salary in 1995 with a 10th grade education. Education is what you want to acquire.
And it's an ongoing process as well.
And if you could walk the walk, then that's all that's important. And I've known, you're right, it's an ongoing process. And I had people working for me that were programming AS400s that were still programming it in the 60s that were still programming AS400s, that were programming IBM System 3s in the 60s that were still programming an RPG on AS400s in the 90s because they never continued their education. They knew nothing about C, Pascal, client server networks, Novell NetWare, none of that. They wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, you know, they got out of school and they thought they knew everything they would have to know, and that was it. They were done.
Visual Basic.
Yeah, again, the point is that life is, you have to keep learning through life. There's no doubt. And I mean, learning about what is important too, but.
Well, I'm glad that I didn't get out of school thinking I knew everything I needed to know. I got out of school knowing I knew everything I needed to know. That was just my attempt at humor. That was just reminding me of an instance once when a teacher said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said to her, "I don't think, I know."
Well, and you know, from a religious viewpoint, it's important too, because that's also true of most people who graduate from divinity school. And most people who ever taught Sunday school, even, they know everything they need to know about the Bible, and that's it. You can't tell them.
The seminary cemetery?
Yeah, it's the same attitude.
I had that once, the third-year cemetery.
What I'm trying to say is that school often gives you a false sense of security.
A third-year seminary student was trying to debate me at a discussion panel on the Bible and homosexuality, and he said, "I'm a third-year seminary student. I think I know what I'm talking about. You're just a homophobe." When I tried to tell him, you know, if man lay with man, as with woman, slay them both, their blood be upon them.
Amen.
Perfect example of what I'm trying to express.
He basically thought I was making up verses. That is not in Leviticus. You, sir, are a liar.
Wow, I think I would have punched him right at that point. He'd have been knocked out right at that point. No doubt.
And then the priest who was hosting the discussion panel, he looked at me and he said, "Comrade, why are you talking like that?" And I'm thinking, what the hell, we're not comrades. And then he said, "The Old Testament also says not to eat pork, not to eat shellfish, and it also says that you can stone your son to death if he's out of line, and it says not to loan with interest. Are you going to destroy our banking system too?" That's what he asked me.
Yeah. The instrument of the devil, he's defending it.
And when he said, what do you say about interest being gone? And I shouted, "Amen." And then he just interrupted me and decided to move on. And at the end of it, someone asked me, "Why did he keep calling you comrade?" And then one of the queers came up and apologized for the horrible conduct of his fellow fags. He said that it was horrible.
horrible that they kept shouting me down when I was waiting patiently and abiding by the rules of the discussion panel.
Fellow fag. That's a new one on me. Fellow fag.
There's plenty of them out here. Everywhere.
Well, one argument that I've heard about homeschooling is that the kids don't get...
let me guess, social interaction.
Yeah, social interaction. But I've known of...
how do you know what he was doing?
That means social contamination.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you, Bill, next to the argument about not being able to afford it, I think the whole social interaction argument is the one I hear probably the most.
Yeah, your kids are going to be miss out on a lot not getting raped by the time they're 12.
Well, it's like I can't let my kid not watch TV. I mean, he'll be a freak.
Or
you know,
what do parents, the anti-homeschoolers, what do they think? That homeschool parents lock their kids up at night and chain them to the wall or the floor and never let them leave the house? They don't go out to the beach. They don't play baseball with other kids. They don't play soccer with the neighbors. They don't walk their dog. What do they
my
think
little cousins that their mother homeschools are the most well-behaved girls I've ever seen in my life.
And you've got to ask yourself, too, especially if you live in a larger metro area, do you really want your children to learn those social skills that are being taught in the schools? I mean, that's the truth to it. Do you want your children learning Eubonics 101?
How to walk around with their pants down.
I knew people that only went to school to deal drugs. I knew people that only went to school to hook up for parties. And I knew people that only went to school because they didn't want to stay at home and get beaten by their parents who were drunks and drug addicts. And I knew 19-year-olds in 11th grade. And do people really want their children socializing with those adult offenders?
But getting back to the question, even since we've been active in homeschooling, we've seen every year there's more and more resources available.
Well, this clown wrote in the forum there's three kinds of people, fags, those who accept that they're fags, and those who claim to hate fags because they were afraid they are one. What an idiot. So that's the old Jew homophobe routine. I'm just going to block his ass so he can't type more of that retarded stuff in the forum.
Maybe he's a fag.
He must be.
Bill.
Maybe, I've had two wives and six kids, and I guess I'm in denial because I'm a homophobe.
Maybe the anti-racists are in denial, and they're just too afraid to admit that they're racist, so they have to condemn other people as racist.
Well, some of the so-called homeschooling, don't they use public school books on a lot of them or make them use them or something?
I've heard that. Well, that is true. What you've got to do, and just because there are so many resources out there, you've got to really know how to pick and choose.
Yeah, there's a lot of homeschooling resources.
There is homeschooling that you can, which we don't even acknowledge anymore as homeschooling, where it is run by the state. They send you all the textbooks.
I think it's that way in California.
All the supplies. And again, the thing with homeschooling is every state is different. So in a way, living in Ohio, we're kind of lucky because the homeschooling laws here are pretty lax.
Didn't they try to ban it in California a couple of years ago?
Well, I don't even think it was a couple of years ago.
I think they still are.
There's a strong push.
They're trying.
To ban it. I know right now in Europe, there, a lot of countries are banning homeschool.
You couldn't teach your children if you didn't have a state teaching certificate.
Well, in Germany, there's no allowance for homeschooling. If you are caught trying to homeschool, they will arrest you, put you in prison, and take your kids and put them in a state foster center. And
yeah, because the Jews run Germany.
I've heard a number of stories where families come to this country specifically just so they can homeschool their children.
They estimate there are 300 to 400 homeschooling families in Germany that basically live underground as fugitives. And the stated reason for the German government saying you cannot homeschool, this is basically a direct quote, but it's a paraphrase since I don't remember the exact words, but they said the children will have no appreciation of diversity, and they will not be ready to be, to live a life as an adult, as a citizen of the world.
One thing,
I have no doubts.
One thing about my county here, there is a lot of homeschooling, from my understanding.
Well, that's why the state here moved to try to do something about it, is because it has been increasing so much in popularity that it's become a threat to them.
And I can only really speak for Ohio. We can pick and choose the textbooks we use. The state doesn't come in and check what books we're using. Nothing like that. The only thing that we're required to do is we need to submit a letter to the Board of Education stating that we are homeschooling. Then the only other thing we have to do during the course of the school year, they have to take a proficiency test at the end of the school year, which is pretty much a joke, just because the standards are so low. But other than that, they leave us alone. And again, my only regret is we haven't started it sooner.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You're doing the right thing now. I mean, that's great, because I know that's a sacrifice to do that. And most parents just don't want to make any sacrifices.
Well, I went to a public school. They would hand out homework on Monday for the entire week in grade school. I would do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday's homework before school ended on Monday. Then I would answer every question in class. Then I would start doing other people's work because I got bored. Then they told me I had ADHD and I needed to go to a counselor and get medicine.
No, if you're trying to excel, there has to be something wrong with you. You must be seriously ill.
And then eventually they just told me that they couldn't deal with me, and they put me in an advanced program at another school where I had to go several days a week with other kids that were similarly troublemakers, since they were doing their work, other people's work, and they wanted to do work from other grades, a grade or two above. They said that they weren't equipped to deal with those sort of students.
Here in Alabama, one thing that they tried to do, and it lasted for 1 year, is that they divided the kids up into the A class, the B class, the C class, the D class, the F class, and all the A class were white, except for like maybe one black person. And like I said, it lasted 1 year, and you pissed everybody off.
Yeah, they can't. Any way they try to split it up, they're going to end up with all the Negroes on one side of the room and all the white kids on the other side of the room, for the most part. So they just can't do it. They can't make academic divisions. They can't make any sort of division they try. It's going to fail, because it's going to have the action of desegregating the classrooms. Or I should say, it's segregating the classrooms. I'm sorry. God forbid. Oh, I got good news last week, too. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that the New York State Senate voted down homosexual marriage.
Oh, man.
Imagine that in New York.
That's weird.
I thought it was a shoo-in. I really did. We'll see how long that lasts. I'm sure.
Maybe they're just doing that to promote it now.
So we'll have it by next year. I'm just a defeatist when it comes to the Jew agenda. It's inevitable. It has to happen.
They'll have nationwide fag marriage within several years, despite all the states that banned it in their constitutions.
Right. And it's incredible to me how people don't see that they don't see that. The fags really don't care about what everybody else thinks. They're just sexual deviants, and they want it their way, and that's it. So they should all be put in prison to keep us safe from them.
Then they
just like,
go ahead.
Jews will be pushing to marry their pets soon.
Yeah, so I was going to say Sunday. You're talking about that.
There is no
doubt.
fag marriage in Canada, and now the fags want the consent age lowered from 16 to, I think actually, no, they did get it lowered. It's now 12, and now the conservatives are trying to compromise and get it up to 14, but it's probably going to stay around 12, and then eventually they'll abolish it, since it's outdated puritanical morality, which has no place in a modern progressive society, or some other such nonsense.
And just quote Tacitus, where he said that, he said to the Romans that they engaged in every sort of sexual deviancy and called it modern. And that was 2,000 years ago that he wrote that. And it's the same people. It's the same exact people.
Nothing new under the sun.
Yep, history keeps on repeating itself.
Yeah, but that's not inevitable. It only repeats itself because we're too stupid to learn from it.
Amen.
Well, maybe it'll repeat itself in another way and there'll be pogroms again.
Yeah, right. We need some good pogroms.
We're going to have the final pogrom before too long.
I think you're right, girl. I think it's going to, the way things are going in my 73 years, I think it's pretty close. I hope.
It can't go a whole lot longer.
I agree with you.
I have no special insight from Yahweh, but I know it can't go a whole lot longer.
I agree with you.
We all pray it can't go a whole lot longer.
Oh, man.
I'm sure there was somebody in Sodom and Gomorrah saying, how long could this go on?
And one day their question was answered.
Yeah, it's incredible. But we fail to see the patterns. That just, it'll always amaze me that we fail as a people to see the patterns.
They don't want to see the patterns. They don't want to see patterns. They're not on the whole motivated by right, wrong, justice, injustice, righteousness.
Yeah, you're right. The only pattern they worry about is their tan line.
And they're worried about everything below the neck.
Well, hey, just like this.
Or at the post office next door.
Actually, most Jews are below my neck. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, you guys, just like over next door, I'll put a motorcycle magazine or over there or whatever in the daily paper, Daily Liar. But if I put the Idaho Observer or the Free Press or whatever, it stays there. They don't want to touch it, I guess. They're afraid of it.
Don't rock the boat. Don't make things more difficult.
Yeah, they don't want to think.
You know, I need to buy a new big screen TV, and it's Christmas. And they're driving me crazy, and there's no money. The economy's bad. What are you bothering me with?
Well, don't worry about that. Let's all have some beer and watch football.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I got a tailgate party to plan.
Hi.
Bill, mind the phone I'm on. It may die, and it never gives me a warning signal before it does. And when it does, it's gonna be staticky, like the crowd goes wild. So when you hear that, mute me. Okay, because that means my phone died.
Now a Negro would be screaming about social injustice because his batteries aren't strong enough.
Hello.
Hello.
First time.
Oh, newbie?
Yeah, first I can hear you.
Called in spirit. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
How you doing? What's up? What can I help you with?
Newbie.
Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Greetings. What's going on?
First time I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. First time on Talk Show at all.
Your title is Eyesight.
I don't have a title. My name is William.
No. The title of your hosting.
Christogenia. It's after my website.
Okay.
Christogenia.org.
Great. And what do you talk about?
Well, this is basically, it's a Christian identity forum. I don't know if you've ever heard of Christian identity.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well,
would you
for
like
me, that's true Christianity.
Okay. Okay. Because to me, it's, want me to be honest, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Please.
Speak up.
The Christian Identity is a title for a group that is considered a terrorist faction here in America.
I'm a terrorist, then.
I think you're
a terrorist.
I think
oh, no. You are all in peace.
Go to 911missinglinks.com and see who the real terrorists are.
Oh, well, I didn't call to argue at all. I'm just letting you know.
I understand what the ADL feels about us.
What's that?
I understand what the ADL feels about us.
No. What is ADL?
The
Anti-Defamation League. Jews.
What?
Anti-Defamation League.
Oh, I'm sorry, folks.
Zionist Jews.
Oh.
I understand how the Zionists feel about us. They don't like it very much.
Well,
they're terrorized by the truth.
Zionism is Judaism. That's just another name for it.
Judaism is Satanism. That's just another name for it.
So another name for Zionism is Satanism.
Yes.
Communism is Jewish.
Judaism is the religion of the devil.
You may all refer to me as Brother Roberto, if you would like.
How you doing? Where are you from? You sound like you're European.
You know, this is more fun than I expected. It's amazing that we are all here in this time, right now, alive.
Why is it amazing?
We're all breathing, and breath is taken so lightly.
Well, breath is either a gift or a curse from God, depending on how you look at it.
There's only one way of looking at it.
There's only one way of looking at it?
Well, if you want to look at it from the truth.
That's how I
sorry.
I don't know.
Hello?
Okay, that's done. Hello?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you should probably, I don't know, go to my website, read my website. We're here every Monday. Maybe you come back next week and make some comments.
Are you ending the call?
No, not yet, but it's not going to be too much longer because we've been on since 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I joined at the time I did.
Hey, I'm glad you got on, buddy.
What spirit are you called in, Brother Roberto?
Oh, hallelujah, and the only spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one spirit and one breath. That's why I say the only way of looking at breath is from one perspective, which is spirit. The original language for breath is spirit. The original word for spirit and breath is the same. English is a combination of many languages. Greek and Hebrew are the original languages.
How did you find us?
I'm sorry?
How did you get in touch with the program? Did you just find it or somebody told you about it or what?
Well, brothers, we're all believers in Christ. I believe that the Lord brought me to you for his purpose. Because I just joined Talk Show, and your name jumped out and had the word of Christ in it, so I joined.
Good.
But no, I don't consider it a program. I just consider it a bunch of believers together. Gathered in the name of Christ, and so he is in our midst.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the Jews are God's chosen people?
I am a Jew, and you are too, if you believe in Christ, because Christ was a Jew.
Christ wasn't a Jew. Christ wasn't a Jew.
He was a Judean. He wasn't. That don't make him a Jew.
Do you know that today's Jews, for the most part, they descend from the children of Esau?
Let me
talk to you about history. How about?
Well, history is in the word itself, but I could only say that he is from the seed of David, and David could only be a king of his own people. So if David is a king of Israel, then David was a Jew.
Well,
they,
what makes you confuse Israel with the Jews?
Are you a converted Jew, Brother Roberto?
I'm sorry?
Are you a converted Jew?
What?
Converted
Jew.
Are you a Marano?
Are you a Marano?
No, no. Okay, we're not on the same page. Jew is a word, and the word really means what it means to you and what it means to the truth. And the truth meaning Christ was a Jew, meaning that God's chosen people are calling by faith. A Jew is any person that believes in Christ.
Roberto.
It's not a racial identification.
Roberto, how come there was no Jew? How come there wasn't Jew in the Bible until in Kings? Where in the hell was they at before that?
Well, English is a combination of languages. We must go for the original language and find out where.
I read Greek, and I have a damn good Hebrew vocabulary. So you don't have to split hairs. The word Jew isn't mentioned until 2 Kings 16.
Okay.
Abraham wasn't a Jew.
There's only one real point. And the real point is that Christ is called the ones in faith. And that's really all it is. We don't get anywhere arguing if he was a Jew or not, because it doesn't matter, because his kingdom is here now in our spirit.
Well, it's in the spirit of the children of Israel.
In the spirit of people that are called out of Abraham, the seed of Abraham.
Right, the offspring of Abraham.
Well, yes. Are you considered a child of faith?
All Saxons are offsprings of Abraham.
It's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of biology. Either you're of the seed or you're not of the seed.
The word seed in Greek is sperma, and it only comes from one place.
Yes, of course.
And if you're not of the sperma, then you have no business in Christianity.
Well, if that's how you believe it, that's why you will perish in your foolishness.
I'll perish in my foolishness.
Yes, because we are all of Christ if we believe.
I think that you're the fool. How about that?
Amen. And not meaning, I don't want to argue with you.
Because if you're not of the seed of Abraham, then you have no business trying to be a Christian.
So, can you prove that you are from the seed of Abraham?
Well, I'm a Saxon, so yes, I'm in Isaac, will your name be called.
Okay, so I'm also a Saxon.
You're
brother.
A Saxon.
Oh, shut up. Yes.
You're of the Germanic races.
Yes.
Because a Jew is basically an Edomite.
Well, I meant Jew in spirit.
Oh, okay. That word in Greek is not Jew, it's Judean. It's always Judahios.
Oh, Judios, sí.
Yeah, well, we could disagree on the pronunciation because nobody really knows how it was pronounced.
Exactly.
But I try to follow the James Strong pronunciation for my Greek. Even though it may be imperfect, at least it's documented. Let's put it that way.
Interesting. Well, praise God. For he is then our father.
Well, he's our father if we're the race of Adam.
Then?
If you're not of the race of Adam, then somebody else is your father.
Then Jesus
In fact,
Christ
Judah married the daughter of a strange god, which is a reference to his Canaanite wife.
So Jesus Christ is not your Lord?
Well, he absolutely is.
But that's not his name. His name is Yahweh. Hallelujah. That's his name and not Jesus. That's another
Jesus is a combination of Emmanuel, God with us.
What he's saying is that Jesus is a it's not necessarily the correct version of the name for his name was Jesus or Yahshua.
Yahshua.
And a lot of people bristle at the name Jesus because it's so abused by the mainstream sects.
Yahshua. So Lord Yahshua is our Lord.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
How old are you, son, or whatever?
Don't know.
Well, you don't know how old you are?
My father hasn't told me.
Whoa.
Well, what does it say on your driver's license?
I don't have one.
All right, well, if we were to go to the hospital and find your birth certificate, what year
would they claim that you were born?
I don't have a birth certificate either.
All right, well, if we had to put a number on it, what year do you believe you were born?
I'm really not sure. My father never told me.
All right. Well, are you still in high school? Are you in college? Are you 30 years old and living on the street?
I am in current studies, so I don't know if that's college.
And your father you are referring to?
My father.
Well,
what do you refer to when you ask father?
Who's your father? Charles Manson? I mean, could you be a little more specific?
Earthly father or...
My earthly father.
Father.
Right. You sound like a man that needs to, has a whole hell of a lot to learn, and I'm 73 and I still learn it. You don't sound like you know much about Christianity.
Maybe then you know that birth date and age and identification is a pedigree, and a pedigree is referred to animals. Are you an animal?
I don't think so.
Okay, so pedigree is all about hearsay information. How old are you? When you were born, what's your first name? What's your last name? That's pedigree. That's hearsay information. It doesn't matter.
Hey,
so my father never told me.
Why was Noah selected when it says he was perfect in his generations? What do you think that means? Was Noah a mulatto, mongrel, mamzer, or was Noah a pure white man, perfect in his ancestry as it's written?
I really don't ask questions to the Lord. I actually just believe what he says and let him experience in my mind his revelation. So, because the first question in the entire Holy Scripture is, did he actually tell you were going to die?
Now, when he helps you experience all these things, is that before or after you start taking LSD?
It's actually after.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, whatever you are, you're something else, and I'm not making fun of you, but I think you got a whole hell of a lot to learn.
Well, can you teach me then? Because if I understand that it's a pedigree and you didn't know it before I said it, then maybe you're the one that needs to learn.
I'm learning every day, son.
Well,
but I'll tell you what, there's guys there that know a hell of a lot more than I do, and I listen to them all the time, and you just got a lot to learn, that's all.
You're referring to dogs, Canaanites are dogs, and so therefore are you a Canaanite, or of the Canaanite?
You don't even know what it means, I don't think.
I'm 25, guys. I was born in 1984.
Thank you.
But you see how you understand things?
Well, all I know is until I was 24, I used to fight and everything else. I started waking up when I was 24, so maybe you'll start waking up now.
Oh, I'm awake.
You don't sound like it to me. Of course, you don't know much either.
Unless you think I'm a recording.
Oh, I don't think you're a recording, but I think you don't know too very damn much, but much of anything.
Well, that is your assumption, and the assumption.
Oh, I understand that. I'm not arguing with you. I don't want to fight with you. I want you to learn.
Oh, I'm not fighting. I'm answering your assumption, rebutting your assumption, because that is how evil is taken care of, rebutting their assumption.
You're being purposefully obtuse.
I'm sorry?
You're being purposely obtuse.
Frankly, Brother Roberto, you're sounding a little new agey.
You what?
New age.
Age.
Oh. New Age.
New Age.
Modern Christianity.
Well, I can only speak to you what I've seen in the Holy Word. I'm not sure anything about Christianity or anything like that. Do we
Are you a Freemason?
Sorry?
Are you a Freemason?
No. I'm your brother if you believe in Christ.
He sounds like he's trying to learn, I hope, Roberto.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's good enough right there. I just hope you. I know you just got a lot to learn, but at least you're trying. And you don't learn it in one day or one night talking to, you know, people you've never talked to before. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes off. I've been at it for 73 years, and I've been learning every day.
Well, the beginning of understanding is fearing God.
I fear Yahweh. I don't fear God. God's another name for the devil.
I fear Yahweh.
I fear Yahweh very much.
I fear
More
Yahweh
than
very
I do.
Much.
I don't fear Satan, but I sure as hell fear Yahweh.
I fear Yahweh and I love Yahweh.
I do too.
All right. I'm posting a link in the chat. If you're serious about learning, that will cover some of the basics of who Satan's seed is and how they are alive and well in the world today and dominate the world today.
Oh, okay. Well, I am. So you're actually, the Christian identity is actually what you follow.
I'm a dual seed line Christian identist.
There's one seed line and two seed line. We're two seed line.
So you believe that the only people that are Christians are the ones that are actually from the seed?
Yep.
Yes.
That's what the scripture says.
Okay.
Over and over again.
Okay. Interesting.
But that's not just if you were black, that doesn't mean that I have anything against you, because I have black friends. I've had black friends. Little Richard's a friend of mine, too. He's a faggot, but he's still a good entertainer, but he's a Christian, too. But he's,
the hell
you know,
he is.
He what?
The hell he is.
He's, well, okay. Well, I'm not going to argue with you, but I understand he's supposed to be a Christian, supposedly.
You could be a homosexual and be a Christian, eh?
Well, no, I...
You're
okay,
out of
okay.
your mind. What are you doing
okay,
here?
Okay, 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 okay.
Damn, I never heard such a thing.
Okay.
A black homosexual can be a Christian, and you claim to be Christian identity. You're out of your mind.
I've been told that a long time ago.
You've been
ago.
Faking it. That's what you've been doing. If I hear some shit like that again, I'm just going to mute your ass.
Maybe it's late and it's past his bedtime and he needs to rest.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
Roberto, I have a paper on my website. My website is christagenia.org. And if you're interested.
Are you finishing the call?
Well, yeah, I'm going to cut it off at 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay. It's 1
o'clock. You know, we've been on for 3 hours. You're just a latecomer. I'm sorry. But
are you in Europe or America, Brother Roberto?
Sorry?
Are you in Europe or America?
I'm in my spirit, but I am in America.
Okay, well, I don't know about your time zone. I'm a West Coast time zone. Some of these people are East Coast, and it's getting very late for them.
We mean the artificial entity known as the United States of America, not simply the geographical continent of North America. Are you in the United States of America or Canada?
I'm on GPS location 14 latitude and longitude.
I'm only
whatever,
trying to make
America,
a very practical and useful reference to Quark.
North America. State of Georgia that traded in the stock market. We all know where we are.
Why do you try to be so evasive to simple conversation?
I'm sorry?
I said, why are you trying to be so evasive to simple conversation, questions and answers?
Avoiding answers.
Well, I apologize if it seems to be evasive.
Remind me of one of my college professors. You couldn't make any sense out of a lot of the things he said either.
That's why he was a professor and you're not.
And praise Yahweh for that.
Amen.
Praise Yahweh because he is a true professor.
Roberto, I just put a link in the forum, http://christagenia.org, site node 82. That's a paper I wrote that sums up. It basically does a good job of summing up what Christian identity, the foundation for our beliefs, for a lot of them anyway.
That's okay. I just called for tonight. I don't think I'll call again.
Wonderful.
Are you that shallow?
No. I'm
hey,
more
I just
deeper
got,
than
I
you
just,
are.
I just got reprimanded. Can't you take it?
Well, I only get reprimanded in the Word of God, and you don't follow that.
I don't follow what?
None of you follow the Word of Yahweh.
Explain how.
Amen. Please.
Well,
tell me I'm all wrong.
The thoughts of Yahweh are farther than your thoughts, and your thoughts are blinded by your own reasoning.
How about yours? What reasoning do you have?
I have none, because I've given up to Yahweh.
So you don't believe that there's people that worship
God? His people is not a physical people. His people does have nothing to do with your blood.
Have you ever seen non-physical sperma? Show it
to
me.
Yeah, it's called faith.
No, whoa. What about those people that, what about those people that did miracles in his name and he told them, get away from me, I never knew you? What about those people?
Those are the people that are calling like yourself, Christian.
Excuse me. No,
well, everyone, like you said, wait, like you said earlier, a black homosexual cannot be a Christian.
Right,
not because
absolutely
he's black, but not because he's black, but he's because he's a homosexual.
Actually, that's six strikes. Black men cannot be Christians. Black men
absolutely
are not the children of Israel.
That's why
he only
you
came
will,
for the children of Israel. He
that's
only
why
came
you will
for
perish in your foolishness.
No,
read
you
Matthew
will
15
perish in your foolishness.
Amen.
Well, the Lord's holy word is our shield and our sword.
And his
and
word is, I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his word. Who
okay
are those people?
That's your prerogative.
Negroes
and
your lost
opinion
sheep of the house of Israel? You're out of your mind.
That is your reasoning.
His sheep are mentioned at first in Ezekiel chapter 34.
So you don't believe the New Testament?
Of course
Matthew,
I believe the New Testament. But the New Testament's
Jew
the fulfillment
Greek
of the
alike
Old.
He
the
took
promises,
away the
promises
took away
the are to the fathers and nobody else. And you're
well,
just another Judeo-Christian
away
idiot. Goodbye.
By your inheritance. He took away your inheritance.
Have you ever been in jail?
He's out of here.
Thank you very much. That was a waste of time.
Yeah, it was. But I wanted to see where he was coming from.
I don't
know
where the hell he's coming
everybody
from.
Else started, until everybody else started questioning him, I was going to get rid of him then. I figured he was a Judeo, but he had to expose himself first.
I had to wonder if he was going to start talking about UFOs.
No kidding.
Well, he was sounding very, very drifty and New Agey and...
Well, yeah, I understand that. And I wanted to get rid of him a long time ago, but everybody else started talking to him, so I thought I'd let it ride for a while.
Well, we needed a little entertainment tonight.
He's just another brainwashed idiot.
Did my phone do what I thought it was going to do, what I told you it was going to do?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, my wife.
But it did while he was talking, so that was pretty neat.
I think I had him pegged with the LSD remark.
Yeah, you probably did. He's just another New Age idiot trying to pervert the promises of God.
Do you think he was a Jew?
He sounded Hispanic.
Hmm.
He had a Hispanic quality to his voice that I've heard a zillion times. He's probably from Spain, Portugal, or you know, even he didn't sound like he was from the Caribbean. He sounded like European Ladino to me. That's what he sounded like.
And we know about 22% of Spanish people have Sephardic DNA.
Well, yeah, a great number do, and it's probably I've known white Spaniards. I used to shoot when I was a kid. I shot pool with a guy off the boat from Spain. And he was about as tall as me, and that's like 6'4". And he was very slim and had blonde hair and blue eyes. I mean, he'd have passed for I didn't believe he was Spanish, but he spoke very fluent Castilian. And since I spoke, I took Castilian for 2 years in high school, and I was actually pretty good at it. I don't like to brag about how much Spanish I know, but I was actually pretty good at it when I was a kid. And I wouldn't have believed him if he didn't speak such fluent Castilian. I would have never believed him.
Well, they're one of the tribes of Israel, right? The real
Spaniards. Well, yeah, the original Spaniards are. And I'm sure there are still some white Spaniards in northern Spain. But if there were any, he was one of them. That's for sure.
Well, whatever he was, he was closed-minded.
Most of the people of southern Spain, and I'm sure a lot of the others are... They're bastardized. They're Arabs. They're not Spanish.
Same as Italy, I guess. Southern Italy is the same way, I guess, compared to northern Italy.
Right. And he might be Italian, too, but he's definitely not a... He claims to be a Saxon, but I don't believe it.
He's just blind, young, blind, just like myself. You learn, you know, I started waking up when I was about 24, and I've been waking up more, and just like in the last month or so since I've been listening to all you guys, different guys, you brought me back to life again. I love it.
Well, evidently we didn't bring you back very far because
you talking about Little Richard again?
Best
hey, I was raised in L.A., Bill. I'm sorry. I was I was raised with a doo-wop.
Whoa. L.A. is sweet compared to where I was raised.
I don't know. It was pretty damn rough and wild.
I was raised 2 miles from the World Trade Center.
Well, I was raised not too far from Watts, and it wasn't all a bowl of cherries, I'll guarantee you. I'm lucky. I can't believe I've lived this long, all the crap I've been involved in.
Well, praise Yahweh, but the best thing to do is read.
And oh, he's watching over me, that's for sure. All of us.
And he has a reason, and we don't know what it is.
Exactly. He's got a reason for me, and I've thought that for a long time. I don't know what it is, but I know he's got something planned for me.
But the best thing to do is to read and study.
I do the best I can every day, sir. And then a lot of stuff I've learned is all BS in school, and I'm just like now, just like Ron Paul, all this stuff, you know, you can't trust nobody but except Yahweh.
That's the illusion.
Yep. Without him, we're lost.
But read Comparé, Dr. Comparé, Dr. Swift, Beal, Clifton, Eli, and read and study yourself, and you'll gain the oil that you need of your wisdom.
Well, just like Beal said there, I just like the Bible. I thought, you know, the different ones. Oh, I forgot the Companion Bible. He's a phony, you know, and you just don't know. It's just Yahweh's going to have to show me the way, and he's hopefully, I know he's watching over me, or I wouldn't have made it this long.
If you have internet, qbible.com is...
I don't have the, all I got is, I'm an old man, all I got is a telephone, that's it, and the newspapers I read. And,
well, that's half your problem. You read the newspapers.
No, but you can, I mean, King James, you can still, it's King James sucks, but you can still pull 2 seed line out of it from Paul's writings and from the record of Luke, and it's, and Beal's translation, if you can get a hold of Beal's translation.
I'd almost argue against that. Guys, today you need the internet to get Beal's stuff, to get Comparé stuff. Without the internet, man, I would never have ever come across it. It's just impossible.
I don't know where you're going to get any truth outside the internet today.
Yeah. You don't want to watch the mainstream media. You don't want to read the newspapers. That's all garbage.
Well, yeah, I didn't mean that the King James was awesome. I mean, it sucks. I know it sucks, but
it's really hard to do the King James. You need almost an instant concordance with it. And if you don't have a computer, it's just going to take you forever to learn this stuff. I have a question for Beal, if he's still there.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, Beal, and I'm just sort of coming into this, all this knowledge, but I've seen you reference a couple times to a nice holiday that you've had courtesy of the government for 12 years. Was it, and I don't want to pry, I'm just wondering, is it anything to do with any persecution because of this?
Well,
because I don't know.
No,
you just...
I was a corrections sergeant. I was in law enforcement. And a few of my guys got out of hand. You know, they went too far with an inmate one night, and I wouldn't testify against them, so I went down with them.
Okay.
That's basically it in a nutshell. It was a civil rights case. The state of New Jersey didn't have a case against us and had to drop the charges. And the feds, they don't need a case. And you can't beat the feds.
What's your name? It's asking Beal that question.
My name is Brad. I'm out in Vegas.
Okay, Brad, I just want to say something. I've also been a correctional officer, youth authority, and I've been in prison. I was in there for income tax evasion. I was a constitutional tax rebel. So I just want to know that he and I have a little bit in common. He knows a lot more about Yahweh than I do, but I'm trying to learn. Even though I'm 73, I'm still trying to learn more every day.
Well, we
you're in Vegas, Brad.
Sorry?
You're in Vegas.
Yes, I'm in Vegas.
Okay. I've seen, you know, since I put that globe on my site, I have fun with it sometimes, and I've seen you on my site.
Yeah.
I've seen
I've had a long travel. I've come 23 years through the Herbert Armstrong stuff and then left that a while ago and then came across Mr. Comparé and then Mr. Swift and then Mr. Fink, who's you, and Mr. I think Emmeheiser, and it's just to the gentleman who's 73 and he's just learning. I mean, I'm so happy for you, but I just have to say there is a ton of reading, and man, if you don't have the tools sort of just right at your fingertips to go check this stuff out, it's so hard to just, as somebody earlier said about the King James, it's a great Bible, but it's just so full of holes and everything that you can't get, I don't think you can get the underlying meaning so clearly just from the King James. I mean, what woke me up was Ezekiel 1 to 10. That was just I've been 23 years going to Bible studies every 2 weeks and keeping the Sabbath and services and everything. And then no one had ever read Ezekiel 31 to me. And then I read that about, the trees in the Garden of Eden, and that just blew me away. But just back to the comment, it's if you don't have the Internet, and I know old people are, they're old and they don't want to fight with this new technology, but I'd almost hardly recommend that you get yourself a computer and an Internet, because this stuff will come much quicker that way. Just my humble opinion.
No, well, when you're on social insecurity, it's kind of hard to buy all that stuff. And
I hear you.
And I've got 2 or 3 hours worth of chores and reading and dinner to handle, so I'm going to have to go for the night.
Well,
God bless all.
See you tomorrow night, maybe, hopefully.
Good day.
Yeah, Brad, well, I'm happy to hear that. A lot of people have come to Identity through Herbert W. Armstrong, which is kind of like the halfway school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into that Herbert Armstrong a long time ago, many years ago, and got away from it, just like the Birch Society, found out how phony it was.
What two things I'm looking for is one is, I don't know if you can put a link in there, Bill, but I understand the origin of the white race, but has anybody, and I keep seeing where people say the Bible doesn't speak about the origin of the other races. I know Dr. Swift has got tons of knowledge or what he purports to be his understanding, going back 70,000 years and them coming from other planets and that. But is there anything more newer that speaks to the origin of the other races that's around to read?
Well, maybe I don't. Clifton and I agree between ourselves. We believe that the origin of the other races is in the fallen angels. And I believe personally that the fallen angels are probably the Cro-Magnon man or something similar.
Okay.
And that's my personal opinion, and I have to issue that caveat. But it seems that the Cro-Magnon man was a very advanced hominid, possibly even a larger brain capacity than we have.
Right.
And they just about 30,000 years before we appear, they seem to have died out.
Okay.
Now, whether they died out or whether they mixed their seed with every type of beast, as the Book of Enoch tells us. But other than that, I mean, the origin, and I know Wesley Swift got a lot of what he believed about the Negroes, and he got it from a British anthropologist, and I'm sorry, I've read about it independently, but I can't remember his name. This British anthropologist had gone into Kenya and studied the Dogon tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are African tribes, in addition to the Dogons also, that believe they came here from another planet. And that is true. And Wesley Swift grabbed that and ran with it like a football. But
right.
I don't know if that's documentable beyond the work of the one British anthropologist who had published this in the 1950s, I think.
Right.
But the Book of Enoch is an excellent book that Two Seed Line is all through it.
I think the important thing to understand, well, first they were all engaged in, practically all of them were engaged in serpent worship. Practically all of them were engaged in very vile deeds like human sacrifice and things like that.
This is the group who died out 30,000 years ago?
Well, no, this is all of the other races.
Okay.
Yeah, you know the Aboriginal people of Asia and Africa,
right.
and South America were all engaged in these vile practices. And I believe that well, that helps me, helps lead me to believe that they are children or you know, descendants of bastards from the rebellion against God and the reason why our race, the Adamic race, was put here. But this is all, you know, philosophical conjecture, and I really have nowhere in the Bible to point you to except for the scant scripture and apocryphal literature that I quote in my paper, The Problem with Genesis 6:1-4.
Right, and then we just basically use the understanding of the word Adam as the basis for this all, because
white. It's not only to me just the word Adam. Believe the word Adam means ruddy, because the word Dom, and not even Strong makes this connection. The word Dom is blood, and it's Strong's number 1818. I have a paper on my site, The Race of Genesis 10, and I have a lot of evidence. I have to sit and add to it one day, but I wrote that paper from prison. You know, in my books and the amount of material I had, I was very limited. I read hundreds of Greek classics and archaeology magazines and books on archaeology, but I mean, even in prison, you only have access to so much. However, The Race of Genesis 10, all of those people, it can be established, were originally white. There are no Hutus, no Mandingos, no Tutsis, no Asiatics, no Dravidian Indians. None of those people are in that picture. All of the people in the picture of the Genesis 10 nations are white, and we descended from them. All of the white people on the planet descended from those people in Genesis 10. Now, since the events in 3000 BC, it just so happens that most of those people were overrun or mixed in with the Arab and the black and the Asian races.
Mm-hmm.
So that most of them are not white any longer. But 2,000 years ago, it's absolutely clear they were all white.
Same thing going on in this country right now in the world.
Well, exactly. The original Egyptians were definitely, all the people of Genesis 10 were white. And that can be established in history. And that's what that paper attempts to do.
Well, you don't have to look too far around you. And, religion and the Bible speaks for one thing, but when you see what's happening around you, especially with respect to us white people, it all fits. It just, everything you look around and see, once you come to the understanding of the illusion and what the media and the schools and, you know, all the education has taught us over all the years, once you see around that or through it, the picture becomes so clear that's to me is the ultimate proof of the white identity, of the white Christianity thing.
Well, absolutely.
Everything else points right to the threat and the flood of immigration coming to dilute us and just, you know, bastardize us. Everything is just right. It's just right in our faces.
It's absolutely true, and that's a very good. That's the way I came to the realization.
Yeah.
You see, I was raised a Catholic, even though most of my cousins on both sides of my family are Protestants. By some chance of fate, I was raised a Catholic, and I rejected everything the Catholic Church was teaching. By the time I was in sixth, seventh grade. But I could not reject the belief in a God. Because
mm-hmm.
I did a lot of reading in Carl Sagan and Stephen Hawking and all those idiots. And I still couldn't accept evolution theory. It was just straight bullshit. And I was pretty much an apostate. I let my wife. My wife raised my kids Catholic and send them to, you know, the communion thing and the confirmation. But I didn't care one way or the other. I really didn't, because I didn't know what to believe. And when I got to prison, somebody gave me this little book by E. Raymond Katz, the Abrahamic Covenant book. You know, you might know the booklet that I'm talking about. Artisan Publishers still sells it for about $3 a copy. And I read this little book, and it all made perfect sense to me. And then he gave me the Bertrand Comparé, a little Your Heritage book, and a couple of Wesley Swift tracks, and it made too much sense. It was perfect, and I knew it, and I knew it was true. So I decided, and I was only about 1 year into my prison bid at this time, and I decided to spend the rest of my prison bid studying this firsthand for myself. And I just got on the, you know, on the pad and started writing letters to my parents and my brothers and making them send me books, and that's what I did.
Praise and thank Yahweh.
So I sit here with all this knowledge and trust in my Father and trust in Yahweh. What I'm sitting here trying to understand is, what's the task at hand? Just continue to learn more, or is there?
Well, I believe it's that there has to be a remnant of His people here in the world with the truth, and that those people are going to be a witness to the rest of our race. That we have to keep attempting, even though it is 99% of the time it's futile. Even in prison, when I had a captive audience and guys, and I don't know if you ever know, if you know anything about prison, but being the, if I have to use vulgar prison language, being the top white boy in the unit, all the white guys in the unit had to listen to me. They had no choice. And when I talk to guys about this, even in prison, it's futile. It's guys don't want to hear it, or they're so locked into that Judeo-Christian paradigm that they just can't possibly believe it. And you could look all around you and see the savages, and they still can't. Yet, you know, my success rate was probably 10%.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And in the street, it's like 1%.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Even no matter how futile it is, you can't give up. And you can't give up because that one guy you might reach, you don't know what's fated for him, and that's your job. You don't want to be the guy that takes your coin and buries it in the yard.
We are doing the witnessing, there's no question, but it's like the scripture about being the Lord or Yahweh's battle axe. Is there something we have to be doing? Do we have to be physically fighting back? Do we have to be doing something to bring about the advent and the return of Yahshua? It's just, you know, I'm so caught up in this. I've had years and years of waiting for fleeing to a place of safety is what Armstrongism taught us. Only to learn now that Revelation 12 really speaks more about the flood and immigration coming after us, and the two wilderness trips are already in the past. So all of a sudden my hope of being saved and going fleeing to a place of safety has been dashed, but it's been replaced by a want or a need to try and understand what's really happening and what we're really supposed to be doing.
Right. Well, this is definitely the... we're nearing the culmination. I can't see how we're not, because our entire race is being overrun. And that's what's supposed to happen, explained in Ezekiel, explained in Jeremiah. That's what we're told would happen, and we're seeing it. And only two seed line Christian identity people can see it.
I tell you, it's tough to watch.
Oh, it hurts. Believe me. I was locked in. You know, I was an apostate Catholic, but I was always I like to term myself a constructionist conservative. And constructionist conservatives are the only real conservative. You know, talking from a mainstream political viewpoint, and a constructionist conservative wants to conserve the republic as it was built, and always, you know, being locked in that paradigm, you always think that you could vote your way back to the Constitution, and it does hurt, and it doesn't stop hurting until the realization comes that everything's in Yahweh's hands, and there's no way that we're ever supposed to try to take back Babylon. It has to fall.
We have to get used to understanding that this world isn't a permanent thing. This isn't our home.
Right.
And
exactly.
All of those times that were better before were only meant to, they served a purpose at that particular point in time. They were never intended to be a permanent and forever arrangement.
Right.
It's always going to morph, and it's always going to get uglier.
if anybody has an old,
You know, Brad's right. No matter how much you know, it still hurts to see it.
Yes, because it's hideous. Seeing evil.
And the people that are, and ignorance truly is bliss. Because the people partying with the devil, they have no idea, and they don't feel any pain.
You know what I blame them for the most? is not their, even they're partying with the devil because they're doing it largely out of ignorance. Most of them have never even been exposed to the truth.
Well, that's right.
But they don't have enough sense. All of us at some point, something snapped and we realized at least that something's wrong here. I don't know what, but something is wrong here. And we started looking. They don't even look. They don't even ask. They just sit there and suck it in. That's what really grinds me about the whole thing.
Well, that's what Judeo-Christianity teaches them. It is to be submissive and to take the beating and wait for the rapture. that's what Judeo-Christianity is all about.
Sure. Sure.
Right, but we know that we're going to be the only ones left. They think they're going to be the only ones gone. And it might work out that way.
Well, it's just like the Klan led me, so-called Klan. There was about 40 different Klans back in the 60s. And then it led me to Identity to confray and all that stuff. And I've just been learning ever since. Even I don't know all the answers, that's for damn sure, but I'm trying every day. I got an open mind, but I know I've been a lot of things. You guys have already showed me that in the last few weeks. A lot of things I've learned I thought were right were wrong.
Brad, have you seen that that new Ensign talking about comprehensive truth? Have you seen that new Ensign site I'm putting up?
No. I've seen your two Krista Genias and Genials, but and by the way, thank you so much for them. They look fairly new to me, but I haven't seen anything else, no.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. If you go to my projects page, I have a new Ensign site. It has maybe like 8,000 or something. I don't know. There's a ton of documents I have to put up on there, but there are about 1,000 tracts there from Swift, Comparé, and a whole host of other identity writers.
Okay, so I'm on Krista Gino's. Where is it? In there?
It's on the projects page.
Okay, yeah, I see that. Yeah.
If somebody's got an old dictionary, look up Church Militant
and look for the British flag.
Yeah, the new Ensign.
Yeah, click on that, and there's a huge PDF library there, and we'll keep an eye on that because I'll be putting I got 5 gigabytes of documents to put on that site.
Well, I have to thank you very much. I only have a life and a family to raise and work. Now I got to read all this stuff too.
Yeah, a lot of guys hate me for that, but nah, I appreciate.
Oh, that looks awesome. That looks incredible.
And
awesome.
This site is in the next 3 months of 2010. The site is going to grow immensely because I have a ton of documents to put on it. I just I'm a one person act, and it's hard.
Are you doing your backups and everything so that when this becomes a trouble to the other people, then they start shutting you down and?
Well, I have. That's why I have KristaGenia.org and KristaGenos.org.
Two different ISPs, or are they both on the same one?
No, they're two different hosting services. They're in two different parts of the country, and I did that on purpose. And everything that's on one is going to be on the other.
And you're just going to make sure you have a disk with everything backed up so that.
Oh, I got everything on 3 computers.
Okay, good.
Everything I have is on 3 computers, all my data, and two different hosting services. I believe in redundancy.
Well, this is incredible. I appreciate it. I don't suppose you're traveling out Las Vegas way any time in the near future.
Oh, I can't travel very far at all.
Yeah. It feels like if he gets out that.
I'm hoping I got everything that I do. I have to turn in reports and where I'm going and plans and who I'm staying with. And it's a real hassle. And I got 3 years of this. I got 2.5 left. And I'm hoping to get to see my son in January in Virginia. And I'm really hoping to make a trip south to see some of the people in Louisiana and stop in Tennessee.
Alabama.
But out west, I don't know if I'm going to make it out west for a couple of years, I'm being honest with you. I mean, I would love to. There's a lot of people out there I would love to go see. We have a lot of good brethren. There's 7 of None, and who, I don't know, you've probably seen him in the forums. He's in Colorado, and there's a lot of good people out there.
Las Vegas guy, there's
Idaho and Montana, and Nevada.
Las Vegas guy there.
Yep. Yep,
there's one of our brothers not too far from you. I think his name is Mike. He's in Kingman.
Okay.
He's not too far from you.
That's down south an hour or so.
Yep. I think his name's Mike. I think Wickstrom knows him. They've hooked up together or something.
I know Christian Identity Fellowship is very difficult to find. I know that. We're really spread out.
Yeah. Which at the same time is a good thing.
Well, that's just like right here where I'm at. Hey, I feel like a mouse in a lion's den. I mean, it's just nothing but unbelievers around me. I mean, it's
the only other New Yorker I know in Identity is Greg Howard, and he's he has the show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. By the way, he's in Rochester. He's about halfway across the state, which isn't as bad as being halfway across the state in Nevada, but it's still a few hours to drive, you know.
Well, Yahweh says we're the remnant, and sure, that's for a fact.
Good night, Gerald.
Good night. I've got to go. Pilgrim and everyone, I'll see y'all later. Enjoyed it. See y'all tomorrow night.
Good night, Gerald.
Good night.
Bill?
Yeah, I'm here.
The Las Vegas person, gentleman. Right?
Yeah, just call me Brad.
Oh, okay. And Bill, please correct me when I go astray here, but there's you need to grow in knowledge, reading and studying from everybody that you're doing. That you're reading and studying from, as well as your own reading and studying, and that's all you can do for now.
You'll have your opportunities to wake up your brethren.
Yeah.
They come,
and
you're going to fail more than you succeed. But it's something that we have to do. That's the way I look at it.
They all think we're nuts. Or they're gutless.
Are you saying then that when we get to a critical mass is when Yahweh returns? We keep teaching, we keep winning some people over to understanding here and there.
Well, I think things are going to get a lot worse before they get better.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
But people are going to have to come to the point where they're going to want to know why it happened, and we're the only answer.
I think you're right. I know you're right.
Oh, that's an absolute fact.
And in order for us to provide them with the truth.
We're never going to stop Babylon from falling. It's written that it's got to fall. And then it's our turn. Once Babylon falls, it's our turn.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, don't try to save it because you can't.
Oh, no, there's no way I want to save it. I want to attack it. I want to kill it.
I've been trying to wake people up ever since 1971 and through the Birch Society and all that crap, and then I've just learned from there and still learning, still trying to wake people up. I don't know if I'm getting anywhere or not, but I'm still trying.
Bill or anybody else, there's a scripture in Zephaniah that says, it may be that you may be hid in the day of the Lord. Do you know anything about that scripture?
But I'll try to look up the word hidden.
I never heard that. That's
a lot of short sayings that are similar to that in prophecy. But
yeah, it just sort of comes to mind, and I thought, yeah.
I know it talks about people begging to be hid in the day of the Lord.
Okay. I'll go do some more study on that.
Zephaniah, there you go. Seek ye Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. And that's true.
Chapter 2, verse 3.
That's true that we hope, we separate ourselves from the world, that we do not suffer the punishments with it.
Right.
and then, you know, get out of Babylon. And I'm going to be honest with you, Brad. Las Vegas, I was shocked to see somebody, a repeat reader in, from Las Vegas on my site. I'm not going to lie to you. I was pretty surprised to see that. But
I liken it to Yahweh's sense of humor or something. That even so much, you know, good can come out of evil.
Well, yeah, that's true. I know that not everybody in Las Vegas is bad. There's probably a lot of good people in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
Pilgrim said, ignorantly, they're partying with the devil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been there and done it, just like all of us have, probably at one time or another.
But what happened, other than the moniker of this stupid city, wearing it right on its sleeve, that we know we're the city of sin,
yeah.
There's not much happening here that doesn't happen in every other city in the States. And
oh, yeah, I understand that. There's just more of it. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what happens there stays there.
So they say.
I was 19 years old. I was living in an apartment that I rented. And the guy down the hall from me was a real nice guy, and he worked hard, but I hardly ever spoke to him. And he took a vacation and went to Vegas and came back a week later with a Jewish bride. I swear. And the whole thing lasted about a month. And I came home from work one day, and this woman was sitting on the front steps of the apartment building crying that Bobby threw her out.
Amen.
It was funny.
It is. It sounds funny. So it's 1 o'clock over where you are?
Longest
yeah,
I've ever...
It's 1:30 here.
Bill, is this the longest you've ever been on? I know I've been on here 3 hours and 40 minutes.
I did a program with Sword Brother and it lasted 5 hours one night.
Whoa.
Yeah, we were on until 2 a.m.
Hey, long as it's good, who cares?
It was one of the first Sunday night programs we did. We didn't record the whole thing. We stopped the recording after 2.5, I think.
I don't know everybody's name, but the gentleman who's don't take offense to this, but really old. And
oh, 73, you talk about me?
Yeah, you. I'm sorry.
Hey, go ahead. Hey, Bill's jumped all over me about Little Richard, so you might as well jump on me, too.
No, I'm not jumping on you.
I know. I'm just...
I was just going to ask...
Go ahead.
Or ask Bill if he could send you a CD or DVD with some shows on it.
That's fine.
Since he doesn't have Bill, since he doesn't have internet.
I don't even know if he could play a CD if he doesn't have a CD.
I've got a CD player. No.
I can't send you the kind of CDs that you could play.
Oh.
Like that. Because I'll tell you why. Because most of our programs are longer than 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And a CD player, that music format, only takes 80 minutes of sound. That's it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dang.
A lot of things I don't know.
James, why don't you go to your local library and start practicing on the internet there?
I'll tell you what, I went two nights to on that CD, I mean on the internet thing, and it didn't. I went two nights a long time ago. It's just hard for me. I don't know if I could even learn how to do it or not with the mouse and all that stuff. Of course, that was old fashioned stuff. They say they got a senior type now. I just saw it today, a senior type internet. But I can't even keep up. Well, like you said, you know, what do? Do you watch the CD or do you read the internet or watch the internet? Do you read?
There are cheaper machines you can get. You can hook up to your television without buying a whole computer.
You could buy a computer now, a decent computer for like $300 or something.
I mean, I know
there's a lot of money to people, but you know, $300 is usually what people spend on beer a month.
Well, I get $870 social insecurity every month, and I can't even make it on that.
It's hard.
It's very hard. I'm getting unemployment too, but that's only going to run out next month, maybe unless Obama gives me another infusion.
To the lady who said, I don't know your name, but you said you were telling the gentleman to go down to the library. I thought you were going to say, just go down to your local library and look up in the Christian identity section.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
I thought you could maybe get a little practice in at the library and get.
No, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I'm just kind of maybe illiterate in that thing, and I can't afford it, and I don't know. Excuses. I just try to learn. I love it. Just listening and talking to you guys. It makes my day. Whether I argue with you or not, and I'm not trying to argue with anybody. Except that idiot was on there a while ago.
Brother Roberto.
Yeah, Brother Roberto. I'd like to, whatever.
Well, it's good to get a dose of idiocy once in a while. it's a necessary thing, believe me.
I tuned in just to see for about the last 10 minutes of him, and I my spirit sensed in him, he was just there to antagonize you guys. It wasn't like he was trying to put forth an alternate, you know, a decent discussion or anything. I could just sense that he just wanted to counter you every way he could. Yeah.
Yeah, that's most of them are like that, but. I don't know. I was gonna suppress him, and then some of the guys started talking to him. So I figured I'd let it ride for a while.
we started playing with him like a cat does a mouse.
I see. There's a little bit of wisdom there. Okay.
It's good to see people for people to see what the Judeos how they twist the scripture once in a while. You know, he had the whole sperma thing, right? But when he says sperma or seed, he just doesn't mean the same thing that we do. I mean, either God's creation's true or it's not.
Well, it's all spiritualized now for them.
What the hell is spiritual sperm, you know? I mean, that's just crazy. And
yeah.
Spiritual fathers and spiritual this. And, yeah, he's a pilgrim had him pegged, right? He's a New Age freak. There's no doubt.
He gave himself away when he said.
I just let go and let the Spirit show me.
Yeah, right.
Well, isn't the main thing is, I mean, if faith, you know, if you don't have faith, you don't have anything. And if I didn't, I just have faith that, you know, I know there's something. I know there's a lot of, I just know a lot of what you guys are telling me is the truth, you know, and I'm learning from a lot of old mistakes. You know, you believe in this guy, you believe in that one, and you believe in this, you believe it. Just like college. It took me 12 years to make it through college, and I found out all the time I was in there, they keep you stupid, and I started learning after I got out of school. And I'm still learning.
As we all are. I don't know if it's too late. One more question. Back to the other races and the fallen angels. If when I look at how the human race is procreated with the sperm and the egg, and just what I consider a phenomenal tool or a phenomenal thing of Yahweh's in creating other humans, and yet to see what I guess I'm trying to ask is, when the fallen angels did their thing in creating the other races, yet they still have the exact same reproductive capability, the same semen, the same sperm, the same eggs in their genders, did these fallen angels copy the exact design of Yahweh to do this, or?
Well, some people look at it as an act of procreation, and some people look at it as an act of science. And I'm not going to claim to know if it was either way. But I know that disparate, you know, there's a recipe for life that often allows disparate species to procreate with each other, like lions and tigers and there's several other species that don't normally, they're very close in relation, genetic relationship, but there's still different species, there's still different types of animals.
No, I'm not talking about crossbreeding between different kinds, you know, kind after kind. I'm talking, you know, the blacks create other blacks. But if that wasn't a godly Yahweh creation, then how did they still have the same, you know, the same reproductive or everything's the same as the white people? So did they, how, you know, that just seems to be an exact duplicate copy, not different kind to kind, but even purely within their own races.
Right, and that's, I'm sure that that Comparé and Swift probably would have answered that that's Satan's duplicate, that, you know, the adversary has a counterfeit for everything good in creation. I don't know if I would go there, but I'm sure that that's how they would answer. And
yeah.
And the fact is that it's happened, and I can't, the why and the how is not something I could explain with any amount of certainty.
Right, yeah.
You know, with any confidence. So I don't like to go, I'm pretty, I try to stay pretty pragmatic, and I know a lot of people answer hard questions, and if the books can't answer them, then I can only conjecture.
Yeah, I hear
you.
Know,
if the scripture doesn't answer it, I'm not going to be proud enough to try to think that I can answer it. You know, and we can only guess.
Well, a black is a created
there
being.
There are definitely plants here that Yahweh did not plant, because Yahshua Christ said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up." And the only valid inference from that is to know that there are plants that Yahweh didn't plant. And that goes back to the trees in the garden and the true vine, and evidently there's some vines that aren't true.
Well, I agree.
Well, we're Israel. We're God. We're not created beings like the blacks are, or whatever, and the Spanish. I mean, not the Spanish, but the
well,
real Spanish. We're Israel. We're not created being. We're Yahweh's issue. Or, you know.
Well, he still created us.
Well,
it's a legitimate creation, and not.
Okay. Okay. You answered my question.
Bastardization of creation.
Well, according to, you know, Michael, the archangel, was fighting with Satan's flying saucers, billions of them up there or whatever, and then that's how the blacks came down here or something, and I've heard that stuff. I don't know what the truth is. Well,
that's what I'm trying to discuss, is that I don't... you know, it's all conjecture, basically, because we're not told by the books. That there are all.
That's not in the Bible? About the...
Well, there's war in space or in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought the devil and his angels, yes.
And there's references to things that could be considered spacecraft-type things.
Yes, there are.
Of sorts.
There definitely are. But I don't like to... I could go to Ezekiel... the first chapters of Ezekiel, like Brad mentioned, and we could go to Job, where it says he hides his throne in the clouds and spreads his... He hides his throne in the sky and spreads his cloud upon it. You know, there's a lot of references. Christ was taken up in a very physical manner into heaven, and well, the Greek word is space that is translated heaven. It does mean what we call today space. There's no doubt about that. So there's a lot of things that can be pointed to show that, but we still don't, you know, I wouldn't equate the whole, it's easy to get misled by the UFO people.
Yeah.
When you tread in that direction.
Yeah. They take it and they
because
run.
A lot of that UFO stuff is just purely satanic.
Yes, totally.
A lot of these people that come back with messages from UFO beings are just plain satanic.
Yes.
And when it's contrary to the given, you know, scripture, to me it's evil.
Stay away from the woo woo forums. That's what I told Frenchmen.
Well, yeah, but all these
you're gonna hear voices,
have
honey.
The same socialist message of universalism,
yeah.
and all creatures are gods, and it's all, every time I've heard the message, it boils down to the same sort of Marxism, and it's evil.
Yes. And the funny thing is, 99% of the people following that stuff are all white people, and it's a movement that lifts up, they love the Indians, they just love Indian tribes, they think they're very highly advanced spiritually. And it's always lifting up non-whites But it's always whites who are involved in this.
Right.
Funding it, following it, drooling over it. It's, yeah, very strange.
That's absolutely correct. And that's why I know the Jews are behind the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
And if there are aliens of that sort that teach those things, then they're the parents of the Jews.
Yes.
Any brief comments on all the white non-Israelites? Something I'm not too understanding about.
Right, and we don't know how many white people today are actually have no Israelite patrimony. Because, you know, the prophecy that Shem would live in the tents of Japheth Japheth would live in the tents of Shem, that was definitely fulfilled. And that can be demonstrated in our classical history. And I talk about that in several places. But, you know, the non-Israelite white tribes, they're in the resurrection. You know, the first promise of salvation is in Genesis chapter 3. Unless the man reach out his hand and grasp the tree of life and live forever. I think that's Genesis 3:23 or 3:24 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's to the entire race. And Christ says, you know, he's talking to the Edomite Jews, and he says that the men of Nineveh will rise up and condemn this race. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the resurrection and condemn this race.
The Jewish race?
Yeah. And the men of Nineveh, well, the Edomites, the men of Nineveh are the Assyrians. And the Assyrians are they're not Israelites. They're Semites, but they're not Israelites.
Okay.
And he says the queen of the south will rise up and condemn this race. And this is in I think it's Luke chapter 11, but it's in two of the Gospels anyway.
Yeah, I know. I've read it, yeah.
And he's talking about, you know, how the other Adamic races are going to rise up and condemn the Judeans. And most of the leaders of the non-believing Judeans were Edomites. They were Canaanites. And that can be well demonstrated through the histories of Josephus and through the New Testament writings like Paul's in Romans chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're the people that rejected Christ, and Christ is saying that the men of Nineveh would rise up and condemn them, and the queen of the south, and she was, you know, the original Ethiopians and the original people of Yemen and Oman were white, and they mixed themselves, and that's what an Arab is.
Mixed race. Yeah.
Yes, that's what the word Arab means, and they Yeah, you know, so the queen of the south that visited Solomon, she was definitely white. And that's an indication that the other Adamic people will be in a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the special covenant relationship that Yahweh had with Abraham, but they're still Adamites. They still have that same spirit that was granted to Adam that the children of Israel have. They just weren't chosen to carry out his mission in the earth. Which is part of Israel's special relationship with Yahweh. You know,
yeah, I see that.
There are probably plenty of people of Japhethite stock in Europe and America today, and any other white nations. And the Slavs were, it can be demonstrated, were of that Japhethite stock. And a lot of the original white people of Italy and Spain and Greece, the Ionian Greeks. The message in the gospel to the Japhethites is in Acts chapter 17. Because in Acts chapter 17, Paul is addressing Ionian Greeks. They are the people of Athens, the Ionians. And the Ionians are the Javan of Genesis chapter 10, verse 2 of the sons of Japheth. There's a clear historical record that the Yavanna of Persia, of the Persian inscriptions, are the Ionians of Greece. And they call them Yavanna, the Persians. And that's the Yavan, or Javan, of the King James Bible in Genesis 10:2. and Paul addresses them in Athens, and he does not talk about things that he would talk about Israelites about. And this, to me, is a demonstration of the perfection of Scripture. Because Paul talks to these Ionians at Athens, he doesn't talk about redemption. He doesn't talk about sin. He talks to them, and he references Deuteronomy. In Acts 17, 26, he makes a direct reference to Deuteronomy 32, 8, which is that when Yahweh divided the nations, he made the boundaries according to the sons of Israel. Now, why would he say that to these people? Because they were part of those other divided nations, the other Adamic nations. That's why he said it to them. And he talked to them about seeking God and how Yahweh let all those nations go their own way to see if they would seek God. And basically, that is a message that you would have to the non-Israelite Adamic races. It proves the Scripture to me, knowing the history and who those people were and where they came from. And that is basically the message. If you want the message to non-Israelite Adamites, read Acts chapter 17, because that's it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Bill puts it very well.
Yeah, lots of knowledge there for sure. For sure.
Bill sat on his ass in prison and gained that knowledge.
Well, I admit it. I mean, I had plenty of time to read. That's all I did was read. I mean, I work out and I run, but I ain't done that in a year. All I've done is basically read. I didn't watch television. I didn't socialize. When I did socialize, it was usually because I had to, and it was something negative. And I sat in prison and read and wrote.
Yeah, what better way to be able to focus?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you hate everybody around you, it's easy to focus.
Okay, gentlemen and ladies, I have to sign off for the night. I just want to tell you, first call, I appreciate everything, and I'll be joining in again, and thank you all very much.
Come
on tomorrow night.
We have company visiting, so I don't think I can.
Yeah, and plus it's early. Yeah. 8 o'clock is early for Vegas, I know that.
Yeah.
8 o'clock here is early for Vegas.
We have lots of shows. If you click on my name in the chat, you can see a list of the ones that we have during the week.
Okay.
Okay.
Which one's your name?
Pilgrim.
Pilgrim. Okay. Good night, all. Thanks very much.
Night.
Thank you.
Yahweh bless.
And that was Acts 17, Bill. Is that right?
Yeah, that's Paul's message to the non-Israelite Adamites, because that's who the Ionian Greeks are. They're Japhethites. You could find Javan in my paper, The Race of Genesis 10, and read about them.
So, again, I'm coming through phone only. I don't have a screen. How many people still here besides Bill and myself?
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to call it a night. I mean, it's been 4 hours now, and
yeah.
I know my voice is getting kind of raspy again, probably.
Well, it was a good show. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pilgrim.
See all of you tomorrow night, I hope.
Yep, tomorrow night.
Praise Yahweh. Good night, Pilgrim.
Night. Bless you all.
Take it easy, Brett. Good night. Uh-huh. And we'll be here at 8 tomorrow.
How'd I do?
You were fine.